Okay, it's 7:03, and time to call a meeting to order. Do I hear a motion to start the meeting?
I make a motion, Mr. Mayor, that we start the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell.
Second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so if you all would stand. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll take a moment of silent prayer. First on the agenda this evening is the Girl Scouts, Girl Scout Troop 23. They have a merit badge project proposal.
Ooh.
And I would, I guess that's...
Where would you like them to be?
Oh, well, why don't you introduce them?
They've got that in their presentation.
Okay, good.
They've got it all taken care of.
Hey, that will be fine back there. If y'all don't mind, do you want them to come over here?
No, it's like just that they just knew they needed to talk to you all and that you all would be here, and we figured you all would direct
this. Okay, all right. Well, then go ahead. You're on.
We are Troop 23. My name is Hannah. My name is Maggie. My name is Maddie. My name is Madison.
And my name is Grayson.
We are Troop 23, and we are working on a bronze award. The Bronze Award is the highest achievement that a Girl Scout junior can achieve. We were on our way to Ms. Carey's house, and we saw that it was hard to see the house from this. So we felt that it would be hard for first responders to find a permanent place and family. We are planning on painting the house numbers and reflective paint in the street. This will help first responders tell which house is the right one without struggling to find it, and this is what the numbers will look like on the street. Our plan is to also put a star under fire hydrants so first responders can see the fire hydrants in the dark. They will be bright and shiny so first responders can see them in the dark.
We will provide all the supplies needed, like reflective paint, all the stencils, and we hope to have our project finished by the end of spring.
Okay, very well. I got one question. I don't know what they had, but you said that you put a star on the fire hydrant. Is that authorized by the fire department?
I think Ms. Carey knows the answer.
He said, are you putting it on the fire hydrant? Where are you putting the street?
On the fire hydrant.
We're putting it on the street.
Okay, on the street.
Lined up where the fire hydrant is.
Okay, all right.
Because if someone's parking at night, don't see the fire hydrant.
Right. Okay, great idea. Do y'all have any questions? I'm sure you have some questions.
I think it's an excellent idea. So the house number, I have a question.
What's the house number? Okay. Maddie.
And they will be on the okay.
There we go.
Was
it
big enough? Yeah, I couldn't see it before.
Great. So you're going to paint white in a rectangle and then put the numbers on them because the streets are asphalt.
And they were going to do it right by the mailbox so that it's in a uniform location. For each of the houses.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because some places have curbs and some don't. So, okay.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I like that.
And Mayor, I'm going to hand this to you. There's like six copies of the proposal and the safety issues that we're covering in there as well. That way you have a hard copy.
Okay.
Okay.
What's that?
Condos too.
Condos too. Well, they're part of the city.
Awesome.
Okay, is there any other questions? Because we've got some other stuff to do this evening, and we'll have to actually review this.
Oh, yeah.
You can have one.
Okay. Here, you
need one. Thank you. We're not going to make a decision tonight, Steve, but we'll be looking at the information that you provided us. We really appreciate your presentation.
And I have one more copy if you need it.
Okay. We really appreciate your presentation. It sounds like a really neat endeavor.
Great idea.
It is a good idea, but there are probably some issues that the attorney will have, of course.
Read the two, one and two at the bottom. It seems like they haven't covered. That was my opinion.
Okay. Probably number two?
Well, one and two, I mean.
Oh, one and two together. Okay.
Yeah. We just want to take time to read over your proposal. We understand what you're trying to do, and we appreciate you coming. It was a great idea. We really appreciate you bringing this here, and we really appreciate the Girl Scouts, and we'll discuss this. And probably, I can't tell you when, because we've got some road projects. I told Carrie we have some road projects probably, because we've got, spring coming up here. Don't want to put your paint down and then us put something over top of it. So we want to make sure that we take care of that problem right up front and identify it. So,
but from a legal standpoint, I think you're good.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
What's the timeline possibly getting back to them?
Well,
I do.
They want to have it done. We'll try and get some an idea next month, possibly next month. We'll have an answer when we can get the project started, at least part of it, because I know Carrie and I talked about this, doing it in sections because of the road projects that we might have coming up here this summer. So don't need to do it all at one time, but getting enough so that they can get part of the award started, that would be great. So
Mayor, he knows that I'm to me, I used to paint a lot. You don't want to go out three or four times to paint a house. You want to do it in one fell swoop. So my suggestion would be is that if you grant them permission, which I think is an excellent idea, I don't see a reason not to. And, of course, I don't get a vote. These people don't get the votes. But I think that they should be permitted to do it all in one fell swoop if it takes them a week or something, but not to do 3 days part of it and then come back. And they're getting an award. They're going to get an award for this.
They're going to get an award even if they've gotten part of it done, what I understood from Carrie. And the problem that we have, Steve, is we've got some road work that's got to be done out there, okay? So it may not get all done at one time, but we can get at least the street areas that we aren't going to be doing done, and then we'll come back and do after the other ones. That was my suggestion. Or actually, Carrie came up with that, and I kind of agree. But we're going to discuss it. We can. We don't need to make a decision tonight. No hasty decisions out of the city of Worthington Hills.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hardest part.
Okay, next on the agenda is our audit of 2015. We have our presenters, Mr. Roy Hoagland and Mary Mueller.
Mueller,
I'm sorry. And they've come here this evening to present the 2015 city audit. So without further ado, Mr. Hoagland, you're on the floor.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. Nice to be here tonight. Folks, you have in front of you a copy of your 2015 audit. You also have in front of you a copy of a letter, which is basically our communication to you, the mayor and the city commissioner, which is a required part of our audit procedure. Okay, now keep in mind, this audit is now almost 4 years old. So it's a historical document. Okay? And so its pertinence is, you know, has lost, you know, come on, it's lost some of its appeal because it's 4 years old because you're behind on your arts. Okay? So I will go through this pretty quickly. Now, I will talk about the highlights, and then you guys ask questions at any time, okay? Okay. The first thing to do, let's go over this letter you have in addition to the audit. Our communication to you, the mayor and city commissioners. What's this letter tell you? The first paragraph basically tells you that you engaged us to perform an audit of your city under government auditing standards. After that, we talk about significant audit findings. The second paragraph talks about your accounting policies. They're your policies, not our policies. They're your policies, and you followed your policies during the year. Third paragraph talks about accounting estimates. Why is that? Well, if you have significant estimates, which your city does not, estimates can be an important part of the financial statements because they're subject to how management feels about certain things. They're actually an estimate. Now, your all's estimate is the useful life of capital assets. So when we depreciate road work, computers, you know, you guys don't have a lot of infrastructure in your books now. You don't have a lot of capital assets. So your estimate of the useful life is just that. We look at the estimate. We think it's an appropriate estimate based on accounting standards. We're good with it. We go. And we move on to communicate other things to you that happened during this year's audit. This is kind of an overview. That's what this letter does. Difficulties encountered in performing the audit. This year, certain information that we requested, Mary requested, from prior management was not provided in a complete or timely manner. It took a while for Mr. Coleman to get some information to us. Some of it wasn't as complete as it needed to be. So basically, Mary had to roll up her sleeves, Dan helped, and we had to get in there and pull together information that hadn't been given to us in a complete manner, and we did that. So we were able to create a good trial balance. We were able to create a, quote, good set of books for the entire year to perform our audit procedures. But I need to report to you that it wasn't complete as we requested it, and it wasn't exactly timely. It took a while to get us the information that we did receive. And we also talk about corrected and uncorrected misstatements. Any misstatements we found on the original books, we corrected those, and those have been corrected now by the treasurer, and we did find certain misstatements, okay, but you're going to find those during the audit, and management has corrected those misstatements. Basically, your all's financial statements are put together more on a cash basis, monthly or internally. We need to ourselves flip that to what we call an accrual basis. So we have to set up the taxes receivable, we have to set up the accounts payable. Those things weren't being tracked on a monthly basis, and that's okay. A lot of cities report basically on a cash basis, which means money in, money out. You know, who did we pay? What did we receive? And then we come in at the end and set up more of what's called your balance sheet. So we make entries to do that. And those entries have been made. Disagreements with management. We had no disagreements with management. Management representations. The mayor tonight has signed a letter dated February 14th, the day of the release of this audit, representing to us that the information that we received to complete our audit, it was full. Everything was fully disclosed to us. And the rest of this is kind of boilerplate. You know, it talks about other issues or audit findings. We'll talk about those in our actual audit report. So this is kind of just a general overview of the audit process. Important estimates, if you have any. Did we make adjustments? Yes. Did you make them to your books? Yes. Did we have any problems? In this case, I discussed the problem that we had. And were there disagreements with management? No. So that covers our communication to you. Now, let's jump straight into the audit points. Mary and our team, mostly Mary in this case, put a lot of work into these audits. As you can see, this is 23 pages long. I will go over the highlights. The thing you need to know as a commission is you basically have an unmodified audit opinion. So in the audit opinion itself, independent auditor's report, okay, we call this an unmodified opinion. These financial statements are materially correct. Okay? These numbers are good numbers. Okay? That's the report right there. About page 3, maybe. Well, it's actually page 1. So it's the cover page, table contents, and there's our report. Okay? Now, that's our report. The rest of these financial statements, except for the report in the back on internal controls, the rest of these are your financial statements. And I'd like to do this. turn to page 3 of the financial statements, okay? And let's look at this. This is a good way for me to see how your city's doing. When I review a financial statement, this is what I want to see. I'm interested in this. This is basically your statement of net position, okay? 2014 compared to 2015. As you can see, scanning down that statement, you had an increase in your assets. That's good. Your current assets went up. Your capital assets only went down because of depreciation. Now you depreciate your capital assets. But in general, you had a $42,000 increase in your assets. Your liabilities, which is what you owe, liabilities went down $4,700, $4,716. So basically, your total net position from 14 to 15, it increased by $47,000. Think of that as net income. If this was an income statement, did you make money or did you lose money during the year? In this case, you made money. You made $47,000. Your net position increased by that amount during the year. That's a positive. And you can also see here, there aren't large fluctuations. I also look for, as an audit partner, when I'm reviewing an audit, I'm looking for any large or unusual fluctuations from one year to the next. Because if there is a large or unusual fluctuation in a balance, we want to know why. What happened? This seems unusual. In your case, no, everything's pretty consistent. So then turn to page 4. Okay, so this was basically what we just talked about, this net position in a for-profit business. That would be your balance sheet. This is the statement of activities in a for-profit business. This would be your income statement. You can see here, we list your revenues, we list your expenses, and the change. Okay, your revenues increased by $60,000. Now, we understand that a part of that increase was an increase in property taxes, which was later paid back in 2016 because it was in an amount excess of what statute requires. Okay, but for this year, this particular year, 14 versus 15, revenues were up $60,000. Expenses were down $46,000. And let's look here. Most of that, as you see, 14 versus 15, expenditures for roads and sidewalks. And let's face it, in the city, that's not really a controllable number. That's just a timing situation. Hey, this year, we got to spend more money on roads and sidewalks. This year, more paving, more signs, whatever a city does. So that number can fluctuate considerably year to year, just based on when you vote to spend money on those areas. So this statement basically ties to the balance sheet, which shows you had an increase in that position of $47,000. Again, that's a positive. You don't want to come in and have your city lose money or have this be a large deficit amount. That would be bad. Okay? You always want things to increase. Well, you want your assets to increase and your net position to increase. Now, since this is a pretty old document, I'll just look at some other highlights at this point. Page 6, for example, statement of net position. There you are at the end of June 30, 2015. Now, one thing about your city, cash, cash equivalents, and investment CDs, etc., you do have $527,000 at that date. Okay? That's a really good situation for a city. A lot of cities, we are in a lot of cities, a lot of them aren't sitting on $527,000 of cash and investments. So you have brought in money through the years. You've got that money there in 15. Don't know where you are at this moment, but I think you're probably still in a pretty positive position for road paving, et cetera, whatever the expenses of the city are. You scan down through here, other accounts, property taxes receivable, other receivable are the other types of taxes, insurance taxes, et cetera. You see what those assets are. Accounts payable, those were your bills at June 30th that hadn't been paid yet. That's a common account to have. And then you can look down at your net position. Your investment in capital assets, that's less depreciation. Restricted assets, that's your road aid money, okay, your road aid account balance. And then unrestricted, $247,000, that's just money that's there for the city to spend as it sees fit. It's unrestricted. And if we turn over to page 7 is your statement of activities. Again, this is kind of a rehash of what we talked about earlier. This is where we come down to a $47,000 change. You see at the top what your expenses are. You see roads and sidewalks for $33,000 in that column. There's the road aid money coming in, so you've got expenses, but you also have the money that comes in from the Commonwealth of Kentucky to offset those expenses. And you come down to the total expenses for the primary government, $306,000. Then you get to scan down here and look at your revenues. Property taxes, insurance taxes, franchise fees, etc. And I'm pretty sure this year, 04 to compared to 14, excuse me, compared to 15, insurance taxes increased. Most of these insurance taxes are increasing because insurance premiums are going up.
Can I add one other?
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, so I do want to real quickly say, you're looking on page 7 where it says the operating grants and contributions at $33,000. I set up a receivable. That money had not come in yet from the road aid because the audits had not been filed?
No.
Or the UFERS had not been filed?
Yeah, the UFERS had not been filed.
Okay, so all that money came in fiscal year 16, but it's still reportable in 15. I set up a receivable and I recorded the revenue, but you didn't have the money yet. And I wanted everybody to know that.
Fantastic, man. That's a good point. So then, you know, after that, if you turn to page 8, the first two statements we talked about were as if you were a for-profit business. These statements here, 8 and 9, are based on fund accounting, which is where we just break out the general fund and the special revenue fund. And you can see the special revenue fund, the road aid, as Mary talked about earlier. You can see $30,000 there as a receivable of the 32. We had $2,000 related to another receivable. You see your CDs, your investments in the road aid. So basically, this just breaks out your balance sheet by funds. Now, I'm going to jump from there because you see your financial picture. Go ahead, Dan.
Why is the total assets on that page 8 not equal to net position on page 7?
Well, here's the reason. And what is the reconciliation? Turn to page 9.
Oh, you got me.
Okay, the difference is capital assets and property tax is not collected within 60 days. Correct, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. So in fund accounting, we're under one type of accounting. We don't record capital assets. That's the big one, okay? All road expenditures, et cetera, run straight through as an expense, whereas on the balance sheet, they've been capitalized. Well, on the other side, the government-wide state. So you're always going to have these two differences. And the same thing, Dan, when you flip over the reconciliation on page 11, $53,000 a change in fund balances, governmental funds of 53 versus the 47 on the statement of activities, and the difference being the collection of some property taxes and, of course, depreciation expense greater than capital assets. Well, you know, they did this. Okay, so the government accounting standards comes along and says, hey, we want you to make these statements more relatable to the common person who owns businesses, et cetera. So way back 15 years ago now, they say, hey, you're going to have a government-wide financial statement that looks like a for-profit business, not fund accounting. Oh, but guess what? We also want you to continue to report on fund accounting. Go figure, right? So basically, you have two types of presentations here, and they make us do a reconciliation between the two.
Right.
I think it's duplication. I say choose one or choose the other, but they want us to do both. Okay, now as we slide back to your financial statement, you guys can read these notes at your leisure. You have them. A lot of good reading. It puts you to sleep at night. Tells you all about your financial statements. It explains everything. It gives you all the definitions. Okay, here's something important to talk about now, and we talk about it in the back. Page 16, for example. Okay, deposits and investments. Okay, now, statutes say that all your money should either be insured or collateralized. To the best of our ability, when we look back at 15, we think, it's our opinion, that some of your money was not collateralized or insured. And you see at the bottom of page 16, category 3, $169,000. Because as you know, all your money in a normal bank account is FDIC insured up to $250,000, okay? And then beyond that, a bank can collateralize their own assets, et cetera, for cities, municipalities, libraries, different government-type situations that they'll guarantee you know, those assets. I put the collateral on it. We couldn't see where you had collateral on a part of your first capital account. That's probably there where you had CDs, et cetera, okay? So that part was uncollateralized, about $170,000. Now, what's that really mean? Well, First Capital Bank would have to go under, okay? So if you're not collateralized, it's a bad thing. The state wants you to be fully collateralized or insured, but in reality, the bank would have to fail for you to lose money. Now, we'll talk about later how all that's been corrected. So the financial statements here, I'm looking for anything that sticks out to me as being material. You know, out of some just general curiosity, on page 17, you see related party transactions at the bottom. You know, it's our obligation to report related parties when someone related to the commissioners or the mayor perform any services, et cetera. We found during this year there was a food purchase from a company owned by the mayor, $60. I think it's a catering company or a food company owned. And then during the fiscal year, the mayor and treasurer's daughters were paid by the city to help provide additional help, mailing out all the property tax notices. Those services totaled $980. Those were two items that were related party transactions. As we move on, page 18 and page 19 are basically your budget comparison schedules. What your budgets were to the actual amount spent, and then we give detail over in the right column, the variances. And, you know, kind of the bottom line for you guys, you know, you're pretty close to budget here. You know, the final budgets that were passed for revenues and expenditures versus the actual amounts were pretty close. You know, you're within, actually, you know, your revenues were almost $34,000 more than you budgeted, and your expenses were, you know, about $5,000 more than you budgeted. So really, your budget's, you know, pretty close, pretty tight there. That's good. You don't want to come in here and say, hey, you know, why is your budget so much different than what you actually did during the year? What you spent your money on during the year should be pretty comparable and reflective of your budget. In this case, it is. The budget for the special revenue, the road aid fund, I mean, there's nothing really anything sexy about that, but, you know, road aid money that you were going to collect versus, you know, what you budgeted to collect. We know that was collected in the next year, but that's the $33,000. Road maintenance, you know, you budgeted more than you actually incurred for road maintenance, so that happens. Now, page 20. Page 20 and 21 is our report on internal controls. Okay, so during an audit, we have to consider your internal controls as a part of performing the audit. In your case for this year, we found what we thought were material deficiencies in your internal controls. Okay? And we'll discuss those. And we found some deficiencies on compliance. And let's just turn straight to page 22, and we can look at our findings. Okay? As I alluded to earlier, finding one, the city was unable to provide a complete trial balance for the audit in a timely manner. So Mary had to roll up her sleeves, take a lot of different records given to us by Roy Coleman. It wasn't a complete trial balance. He had the records to put a trial balance together. Dan worked with Mary. Two CPAs worked together. We created the trial balance. Now, what's management's response to that? Well, you can read what management's response to it, what it is. Now, I'm not going to read all your responses in detail because I can summarize it. Basically, under new leadership, under this mayor, under this commission, okay, you guys are currently working or already have basically put steps in place to respond to these findings, to correct these findings, okay? It's in place. You know, what are we going to do here? On a go-forward basis, the new treasurer who took office, going to create a good trial balance. He's a CPA. You're going to have a good trial balance going forward, okay? Number two, accurate records are not maintained because the city's completely on a cash basis. They don't prepare monthly bank reconciliations. Basically, before, they used the bank statement itself. They didn't reconcile outstanding checks, deposits in transit. They just basically went with the bank balance. As you know at home, when you look at your bank balance, that's not how much money you normally have in your account. You got more or less. Probably usually less because there's checks that haven't cleared the bank yet, okay? So on a go-forward basis, you're going to start compiling better, more accurate monthly financial statements in the area of cash because Dan's going to make sure there's a cash reconciliation performed, okay? Segregation duties. I'll let you read about this. the mayor, you know, the mayor and his team, I think, you know, made a nice response here. You know, before you had one person doing a lot of things, okay, now you're going to have segregation duties, you're going to have two people involved. I think you guys have probably already talked about this, you know, as a commission. If not, you're going to talk about it in the future. So now you've taken steps to increase your segregation of duties, and that's fantastic for a city, because a lot of cities have problems with segregation of duties. Let's face it, you know, there would be a city clerk and she does everything. You know, she does it from her home, she collects the tax money, she pays all the bills, you know, and we have to, you know, we have to find that as a finding on those cities, lack of segregation of duties. Now, a lot of cities do nothing about it because they have a strong commission or a strong council. They have strong leadership. They review things themselves on a monthly basis. So they're not so concerned that the city clerk is doing too many things. Because the only way to rectify that would be hire someone else to help or themselves get personally involved. They often don't want to get personally involved on a daily basis, but on a monthly basis, they will look at things very carefully. Okay, another finding, number four.
Let me ask,
go ahead.
Can I talk to you right there?
Sure.
What we've put down, is this going to fix the segregation of duties?
Yes.
Okay.
For the current year, not for the...
No, I mean, that's not for the...
Yeah,
for the... And the way we handle this is all on a go-forward basis, because right. These findings were from 15. Here right. We are sitting here today. Right. All we can do is address what have you done.
Right.
To correct
it. This is going to be in 16, 17, and 18.
Right. Yeah.
Same
yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
So I think one of the big things, I'll throw this one in, as long as other people are looking at the bank reconciliations.
We're all looking at it. We're all... Well, I can put it this way.
And I saw that on here. So I think that is a big key right there.
Right, yeah. Everybody gets a copy. Dan does the worksheet and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we have copies of all the transactions, along with all the bank statements. And let me tell you what, I don't know what the rest of them found, but I found 0-0 this month. Everything was accounted for.
Okay. So that kind of segues in to our findings, number four. Expenditures were not reviewed and approved by the city commission. In addition, it appears that certain expenditures do not directly relate to the city business. Okay. Based on what I've been told and what you put in place, there's going to be complete transparency now. In 15, certain expenditures were on credit cards. Now, every month at the meetings, those expenditures were approved. In general, you know, commission approves the monthly financial reports, but some of those were on visas, and we know that the city commissioners didn't see exactly what they were for, didn't see the support for it, didn't see the invoice, okay? So, you know, on a go-forward basis, all that's being taken care of, all that's being improved, there's going to be transparency on everything, which in most cities today, as we sit here, there's complete transparency on all expenditures, okay? Then, you know, there were some issues. We found those. The mayor helped us uncover some certain things himself. I'll say at this point, they weren't material matters as far as we look at financial statements as material matters, but someone could maybe question certain expenditures, a restaurant for this, et cetera, certain things like that. They could certainly question. And we found certainly that did not directly relate, in our opinion. So that's our opinion, looking at documents from almost 4 years ago now. Okay, another situation. Go ahead, man. Steve,
if you're gonna sit down and talk, take it out the hallway.
All right, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Certain wages were paid in advance and not paid to the vendor. Basically, a check was written to the former mayor that did not go through its normal function. We didn't necessarily see that over time he was overpaid because he didn't take more money. He took less money later. None of that matters. You had a payroll vendor. All payroll should have just gone through the vendor. There shouldn't have been any exception to that, okay? And because it didn't go through the vendor, those wages were not included in the city's payroll tax forms, okay? That's an issue. That won't be an issue going forward. Everything will go through your payroll vendor without exception, okay? And also, certain wages were paid in excess of the ordained amounts. Now, again, the mayor can talk to you guys later about the details and the amounts. They weren't material, but there were differences. Smaller amounts, but they were there, okay? Now, in my opinion, some of it was the sloppiest. From what I could see, I don't think there was and Mary and I, we talked about this a lot, we looked at the records. There wasn't really a pattern of trying to deceive or be dishonest in that way. Maybe a couple of bad decisions and just some general sloppiness in general. Okay, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I've been doing this a long time, and I can see there is a line between the sloppiness and deliberate activity. Okay, I think most of there is sloppiness. Okay, so there, that handles number five. Again, you guys are taking care of that. Everything will be completely open and run through the proper channels. So you did not maintain adequate bonding insurance. You know, you've got rules about that. You basically need to cover your assets. Okay? So I know you've increased your bond to 750, and maybe, are you up to more than that now?
We're over 750, but until we get to pay the expenses this month. Okay. So
basically, you need to have bonding insurance to cover, you know, what you have in cash in case somebody decides to do it. You know, Bob takes the money and, you know, goes down to Jamaica, you know, and you're like, whoa.
And we're on the Belize.
Yeah, Belize. Where's all of our money? Well, okay, bonding insurance company, you pay us back the money you took, and we'll go extradite him from down there, and we'll try to get the money back.
Yeah, I've already alerted Kate at Picardy City Insurance Services. We probably going to move it up to a million. For the fiscal year.
You're doing this now. This is a, you know, form 1099. Maybe you know the rule about 1099s. Maybe you don't. If you pay services to non-incorporated entities for over $600 a year, if you have a maintenance person who's an individual and you pay them $700, you should get a 1099 for $700. Basically, our accounting firm should get a 1099. We're not incorporated. We're a partnership. So our fee, we should receive a 1099. That's just how the government tracks money's being paid to non-incorporated entities. Okay, that was not being done. Roy was not on top of issuing 1099s. I think he just has some general lack of knowledge, for one thing, about that need. So on a go-forward basis, all your 1099s, 1096s, 1099SFs will all be filed for those people who you pay more than $600.
Just so that.
Go ahead. Yeah. Pointed out earlier, you had some cash equivalents and CDs in excess of insured amounts. In the process of moving all the funds to Independence Bank, they've assured that all funds will be properly collateralized. In 15 also, the city levied a tax rate that exceeded the compensating tax rate, and as you know, that was found to be unlawful, and refund checks were issued in the next fiscal year. So, in a nutshell, or to wrap up, we had these findings on internal control. They've been addressed under new leadership and new council. You guys have taken action to correct these findings. You know, that's the positive. And now you'll just move forward. And, you know, if you engage us to do 16 and 17, who knows what we'll find. I think we'll find maybe some of the same things. Can't look in the future and see exactly what we'll find. But hopefully we'll get a better set of books. 16, 17 can be more clean than 15. But here's the thing. You know, you got to weigh all this. You know, you're in a pretty good financial position here, okay? You had some issues with your prior administration on internal controls. Okay? We've reported those issues. You've taken action on those issues. And luckily, you're here today and you haven't been materially harmed as far as we know. Which every city can't say that. I mean, people go to jail, things happen. A lot of cities, you know, a lot of different things go on out there. In big material amounts, we've been involved in several of those situations where, you know, cities have been defrauded for lots of money. You know, basically really dishonest people. Rising to a level a whole lot greater than just lack of good internal controls. Go ahead.
Any questions?
Ask them now. That's what
I'm here.
It was easy to read.
Well, thank you. I'm proud of our financial. Mary does a fantastic job.
Thank you.
She's in charge, supervisor in charge of all of our city audits. She's been pulling her hair out lately. You know, not every city is real easy to work with. You know, there's changing statutes. The disclosures are getting to be larger and larger. Thank God you guys are not a part of the retirement system. Thank you. For not being a part of that, the footnotes would be about literally 10 pages longer. if you were a part of the retirement system.
Okay. So, there's no questions? Do I hear a motion to accept the 2015 audit?
I made that motion.
All right. Who's going to fight over it?
Oh, you can have it, Carol.
Okay. Carol, Commissioner Campbell, motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Commissioner Eichenberger.
Eichenberger.
Second. All right. Let's take a roll call vote. And I'll start with Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Commissioner McCaff.
Yes.
Commissioner Brazil.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Mayor Stone says yes, so it's unanimous. All right, now the next thing that we need to do is take and get a motion on our, first off, do we want to move forward with audit for fiscal year 16?
Please.
Okay. So I hear a motion to move forward with the audit.
I make a motion that we move forward immediately.
Thank you, Commissioner Brazil. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Commissioner Eichenberger. All right. Let me just do it this way. Anybody against it? It's unanimous. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll sign this. Is there anything else I need to do?
No, Mayor. You signed the roof letter. You signed that. I'm giving our invoice.
I'll save you time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you, guys. This was
really nice. Thank you very much. You've done a wonderful job. Mary, as soon as you can start giving me the stuff, we'll start getting it done so that you can take your vacation after the tax season and we can immediately start on 16.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Could we do 16 and 17? No.
Okay. No, by statute, at the point that we were at there, okay,
right.
Statute was with annuals. Until we get
right.
18 is a financial report,
right.
And 19 is again another audit. So 16 and 17 are audit, 18 are financial statements, and then 19 is another audit. And once we get, hopefully, if we can get everything caught up, and I'm hoping to have everything
right.
caught up by next spring. I'm hoping to meet or be close to
right.
the deadline for fiscal year 19.
Right.
So that's why I want to get the list so that we can
right.
jump on everything she's looking for.
Oh, she'll give you a list on it.
Right.
I'm sure she will.
That'll be the easy part.
My favorite things.
Yeah. Well, listen, the good thing is we've got people now that are going to work.
Right.
Okay. That's the difference in what we had before. So,
thank you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a good rest of your meeting.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Next on the agenda is, let you all know, I hope you all read the minutes. They were all posted online. Is there anybody that has any questions or corrections to the minutes from last month?
Shouldn't it be in vote anyway?
Nope. Don't have to be. They're all long. They're 4 pages long. They're very in-depth. Okay. So, do y'all have any corrections to them?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got there yet.
Okay.
This is just on the minutes.
But that was in the minutes.
Well, I know it's in the minutes.
Okay. I don't see it online. I don't know.
February meeting agenda, January monthly financial report.
So down to the bottom. Second from the last. Okay.
December.
No, it's not in December, it's January. All right. If I don't hear any corrections, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as they've been presented?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous. Yeah, all right. Next one is the minutes for the special meeting on January 21st. That was the one where we had to allow me to do the bond insurance stuff. So, is there any corrections with that little 1.5 minute meeting we had? Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes on the special meeting of January 21st?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner DeVille. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Oh, my God, it's not. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That passed unanimous. All right, city financial reports. Everybody got a copy of those?
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody look at them?
Of course. Oh, I've been looking
at them. Did you find anything in there that you got questions on?
I have one.
Okay.
But I have since had it answered.
Okay. Well, what was it? Well,
it was on 131, and I asked Dan about it. It was a $50 service charge. And then I looked back with their help and found out that it was the
block box.
The block box charge.
Right. And there was a couple of things that I helped Dan repost that weren't correctly posted. But all the balances, did anybody find any sense difference? Because I didn't find any. I tried.
Right.
Everybody knows I tried. I've been 2 hours with that.
Magnifying.
All right. If there's no objections, don't hear a motion to accept the January financial report.
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
So,
second, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous.
I have a question. No, I don't.
We ain't to you yet. Okay. Next on the item is the, we have done the reimbursements. I did add the audit fee to it. I guess you all noticed that the audit fee was added on to the expense count. Is there anybody that had any objections to any part of the expenses? Everybody initialed everything.
Did you all get the second page?
Yeah, we finally got it on. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Okay? So, do I hear a motion to accept the reimbursements?
I make that motion.
And checks and whatever else it is? I don't know how to say that. Do I hear a second? It was Ms. Campbell first, and who's going to do second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Eichenberger. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. I signed it. You signed it. Run the checks. Okay. The next thing we have is the city's attorney's report. Steve,
did you know? Okay.
Sure.
I've got the stuff for the ordinance.
This is also true. That's not what I'm looking for.
All right, this is the tax ordinance.
Raising it 500%.
You and Mayor Fisher.
Yeah, well, let me pay those. There he is.
I've got it. Oh, do you got yours up there?
Yeah.
Did he give you one?
I think it's right here.
I'll sign one when we get it passed.
Yeah, it's the same. Okay. All right, this last month, I'm very impressed with what's going on here. I mean, that's the shortest financial report ever, okay? That's very impressive. And for a number of reasons. Dan is a smart guy, and so it's going very well. Last month, we read the first reading of five ordinances, and they were read in a certain position. But tonight, for a certain order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tonight we're going to change those. It's when the second reading and the number you assign to it that is important. So if we change what happened last month, if you're looking at, like, number five is going to be the tax ordinance, which is number one, okay? So you're looking at the minutes and say, oh, no, it's got to be number five. It really doesn't need number five, okay? So, ordinance 1, 3, 2019, a city ordinance of the city of Worthington Hills for taxes from July 1, 2019 to June 30, 2020. That's the fiscal year. We are ordained by the city of Worthington Hills. That section 1 pursuant to KRS, that stands for Kentucky Revised Statute 92.520, paragraph 4, parentheses 4, the city of Worthington Hills, Kentucky, in parentheses city, shall adopt them. If you want to pass these out and share them, do you guys have this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't have
it. Let's see. Pursuant to 92.524, the city of Woodlands Hills, Kentucky, shall adopt evaluations of Joseph County Property Evaluation Administrator for land improvements located within the city boundary for the 7/1/2019, 6/30/2020. Fiscal year. A city level one tax, that's typically a tax against property, is limited to generate city revenue sufficient to timely meet budget needs and effectuate efficient and effective city governance. Section 4, for tax payments received by the city in July 2019, you get a 2% discount. If they're paid in August, you pay the assessed tax amount. If they're paid in September, there's 11% penalty, 11% times the base tax. And thereafter, beginning in October I have to change this. I'll get it to Bob and change it. So I've got to make these dates correct. So let me read them in correctly. After September 2019, the tax is equal to the assessed value plus 11% interest plus 1% monthly interest thereafter beginning October 19 until interest and principal are paid in full. The city may charge the taxpayer no less than $150 to pay the attorney for each successful tax collection. Sometimes it's a matter of someone calling and I'll pay it off. It's the link when I give them the paid off, okay? Sometimes we file a tax lien and then someone forecloses on the property. When you foreclose on a property, be it a tax lien, judgment lien, or anything else, you have to do a title search and you have to determine everyone who has an interest in that property. Okay, so what happens is that it's really expensive to foreclose, but a mortgage company comes along and they decide that Steve Schwarter's not paying his mortgage, we're going to foreclose on that mortgage. They have to go out and do a title search and they find out that there's a tax lien there. So, and maybe a mechanics lien. Everyone who has an interest or a lien on that property, be it a mortgage, whoever, has to be named in a lawsuit. And then they have to file an answer and they have to set up their answer. Yes, we filed a tax lien. At that point in time, it's worth boom, 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 boom. So that gets more time involved. And sometimes you have to appear in court. You have to prepare pleadings and all of that. You have to go to a commissioner sale, possibly. So it's always been limited to $150 in the past. And sometimes I've got 6 or 7 hours in a case. And I don't feel like I'm being compensated enough. But if it's just a matter of, what gets involved there is if you file the tax lien and then you have to release the lien after it's paid that gets involved time-wise too. So I did change that from prior years. And if anybody has any questions or qualms with that, you know, I'm a big boy and I'll take questions. Let me finish reading it first. The ordinance shall become effective July 1, that's the beginning of the fiscal year, upon its passage, approval, and publications required by law. Every ordinance has to be published. Municipal orders do not. Now, Bob pointed out in his nice letter to everyone about the he said there's a statutory amendment about filing certified summaries, but I've been doing that for years. Now, I'll have to look at that. It might pertain to other things that in the past it didn't pertain to. But we've always filed certified summaries because it's a lot cheaper. But our Courier Journal bill is going to go down because I think that we can publish in different publications. Bob will tell you, I think, and pointed out to me that we can even do it on our webpage, if I'm not mistaken. But that number is going to go down. So it'll be legally published according to the statute. We'll take the cheapest route, and then that's when it becomes enforceable. If you don't publish it, someone comes in and says, I didn't pay the taxes. It has to be published within 30 days of its passage, okay? So I never want to make the mistake on a tax ordinance. Wouldn't we get out and then, you know, I'd be leaving town. I would be changing my name, right? Passed and approved at the February 19, 2019 city monthly meeting by the city commission pursuant to law. Now, I'll make those changes. I've changed 2/8 to 9. I can't do that now. What I'll do is I'll make the change tomorrow. I'll get it to Robert. Because we're going to file a certified summary, he can sign it and date it and scan it and send it back, and then I'll effectuate my signature. Bev, then I'll send it, and then Bob can send it to Beverly, and then she can sign off on it. And then, so I'll be filing a certified summary, which will reduce the cost of the publication. So anybody have any questions?
I think, what's a certified summary?
I'm sorry.
What's a certified summary?
Well, if you look at the budget, if you look at the ordinance statute, you can, and that's what I've been doing for years. It's always been on the books.
Well, I know, but what, explain, from my understanding, the new way of publication is basically we can just tell them that the such and such ordinance number 1, series 290, or whatever, that pertaining to taxes, whatever, can be found on the
City of Warren Hill.
City of Warren Hill.
I can look at that right now.
Just look it up, but I'm sure that you can probably call over to KLC and they'll tell you right away what
no,
it is.
No, I'll get on mine. I'll look at
I know, question. But I'm just saying, from my understanding, they basically last year, to cut down on the cost of the small cities, they allowed us, or allowed all cities, doesn't matter what size they are, to start with using the website to post the ordinances.
That's good.
Okay.
And when you talked to me originally about that, it was like, we could kind of publish it that way, but if you just put it on and they can access it, that is brilliant.
Yeah, we have a page on there that says ordinances now.
Okay. I'll look at that. We'll be compliant.
Okay.
But, and I digress, and Bob doesn't like when I address, but for years, the Courier Journal's up there lobbying, you know, you legal advertisements and all this stuff, they make a fortune off this stuff. So anyway, that's good.
Okay.
I need to make a motion to pass
it. Do I hear a motion to accept the ordinance number 1, series 2019, tax ordinance for the city of Worthington Hills?
With the corrections.
With the corrections.
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bavell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. I think you are doing this to me, Eichenberger. I'm going to have to do a roll call vote. So I'm going to start with Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Bavell.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Mayor Stone. Yes. Yes. Again. All right. The next thing we have to do, because we have some bills that need to get paid, and we also have some benefits, and I sent this out to you all that had to do with the amending of the 2019 budget, and I have to stop. This goes to the commissioners. Bring back whatever doesn't go. Okay? This goes back to the audience. You can take them up.
Everybody get one?
Everybody got something?
No, that's mine.
The same thing.
Okay, on the, in 2019, still coming up, we've got six, about five more months, well, four and a half. And some. Anyhow, there's some issues that need to be taken care of. One of them is we received a settlement for the waste management. With the settlement, we also now are obligated to the litigation fees that were contracted and to with the like any other budget, we have to first have a first read and then have a second read to pass this so we can pay those bills. So I've added the litigation apart, most of the litigation fees, didn't put the exact amount in there, put most of the litigation fees in there, and in the annual budget for 2019, and made the addition of the litigation slash attorney fees. That $42,000 will include some additional fees that will probably be coming up because there's some other items that we may have to have attorney fees on. The other thing that I added on there was, and we talked about this last year when we was doing the budget, or when we were doing the property maintenance contract, they have 20-something trees that have to come down in the green space. And our property maintenance person has a quote that he's got a contractor that'll do it. And this takes down to the stumps. This takes the stumps and everything out, okay? It's nearly $29,000. So I figured this was a good time to go ahead and plan on including that in there so we can get it done this spring, because the longer this tree stays up, the longer the liability hangs over our heads. Okay, and they need to come down. Most of the trees have damaged ash for it, and other ones have carpet branch that's hollowed out the tree. So, and we've had a couple of them come down during the ice storm, but not all the way down. So, there is work that needs to be done with the trees. And this is stuff that's been put off and put off and put off. And now we have the opportunity to take care of it, and that's the reason why I included it in this amendment. Also, to my surprise, because I wasn't prepared for this, I discovered that they ran our security budget completely almost down by the time we took office. Okay, we are at, if you looked at the statement, this month we paid out to Derby City Protection as of January, $20,240. Okay, that is in, if you take and start dividing up how much they should spend every month, if you average that over 12 months, they were almost double that during the first half. So basically what I did was I added another $9,000 to get us through the end of June. That should give us some decent amount of coverage.
Did I miss my page?
You might. No, you're.
Oh, here it is.
Okay. Okay. So.
So you added $9,000.
I added $9,000. Okay. That should suffice us to get it through June. Okay. And that right there, still even adding that up with the additional amount of revenue, the amount that we have right now we haven't had, I don't want to talk about it, but we still haven't, this $70,860, that's a surplus, but that's mostly because we got that windfall from the litigation. It's not what we got in taxes. We're not getting this every year. but we need to use it widely, and this will go back into for the budgeting of 2020. But is there any questions on what I've done here? I tried to make it simple because we did have the revenues to make this change without having to do a bunch of juggling around inside the other budgets.
What did we settle with? What did they do in Sutton, the sanitation?
More than 50,000. More than 150,000.
More than 150?
Well, good job, Steve.
Yeah.
I can have a question.
Okay,
this open, it's open space maintenance. That's what you're talking about, taking the trees out
Yes.
Is that any of that going to be available for Don to use on the entrance and get those trees out?
There's money. There's possible money in there. I don't know exactly how much. I figured right now, this is another thing, okay? Looking at what they had spent prior to our new property maintenance person taking over, they had substantially hit it then too, okay? So property maintenance right now, as of the end of January, is $23,381.77.
That's what we've spent
so far, right? And depending on how often Harold needs to start mowing the grass once it starts coming up, I talked to Harold about it, and he said that if we start cutting it too soon, you start damaging the grass.
Yeah, okay.
So again, he's well aware of the budgeting process. Okay. He's one of our good guys. He lives in the city.
My question is, will he be doing, you said he knows somebody that's going to take the trees out. Well, the time to take trees out is when it's cold.
Well, they got to come down, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do it as soon as I get this budget passed.
I see, but I'm just saying,
right,
it'll be cheaper if he has to subcontract it. It'll be cheaper to do it now than when everybody gets busy.
Right. As soon as we get this passed, okay, we got to do a first read, and then we do a second read next month. As soon as we have the second read, we can alert them. Don can alert them that we're having a second read next month, and we don't have to vote on it this way. I just wanted to bring it up. We still have a lot of money in here, okay? And again, this was one of the.
We still have to be frugal.
I know, we still have to be frugal. That's right. Yes, we still have to be frugal, okay? And we can, if you want, next month, after we know the snow's done, we can move some of that snow.
Well, that's our Derby Day.
I'm just
say
that.
Well, I'm just saying we can move some of that snow money to help with the front entrance if you want to review the front entrance. So these numbers aren't set in stone for next month. If you want to come up with a number that we can move from the snow removal up to the property maintenance, so we can get it.
Property maintenance is not me.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
We're still going to cut down.
So I'm just saying we can move the money between.
Well, we can do it on the amendment. Okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but we can do that. We're not
right. In other words, yeah. I basically try to keep it simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we had the windfall. Okay. Next month we'll know more. So between now and March 19th, okay, if it looks like we're going to have a substantial amount of money, you guys have something. If you guys have plans for that front entrance, okay, figure out how much it's going to be so we can, in this next move, when we make the amended budget, okay, we can make that transition from the snow removal
to that,
okay? Because we've also got the operations. The operations, in the operations expense, mm-hmm. It says 9,000. Again, this operations expense is the biggest slush fund there was, okay? So there is money here that we can move. We just need to, before the 19th of next month, make the adjustments. This was just a simple one to show you what we needed to do so we can get the first read. Okay.
That was me.
Okay. So is that a good enough first read, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna,
and we're going to, we'll make the second read next month.
I've got a question. I've got this money for the city, and so I want to know when I'm going to get paid.
You will get paid on the 19th of March. I will have Dan here with his check. We cannot legally, and you know it, we cannot legally write you a check tonight.
I don't understand.
Because it's not in the budget. Your litigation fees are not in our 2019 budget.
So we have to have the second reading of the amendment before we can legally.
Oh. Right.
Did we get the full copy, or is this just, we only have two pages? You're talking about things that weren't on here, or that we didn't see. No, it's like they've got more pages than that.
I should have it on here.
No, it's just them two.
Just these two.
It's the same.
Mine
just looks
big
because
mine
and friends
got
the
on my
computer. I sent them this so that they would have it at
the
time.
Oh, here. Okay. I see.
It.
We're not
seeing
the open spaces. We're not seeing the whatever the
security. Well, see, there's, it says the security fence. See where the highlights
security
are?
Security fence.
Right. And there's a, anywhere there's a dark line. This is
so
where the changes were made.
Accepted. Oh, okay. And the open
space is up here in the other dark line.
There's open space, total operating.
Yeah, open space is one line. Okay?
Gotcha.
Just like
gotcha.
Security is one line.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Sorry.
Any questions at all? Because we are, we're going to move on. Okay, we don't need enough motions. All right.
I mean, it's not like it's.
I have. Okay. Now I'm going. Move over a couple of them. I got it. I just came out. Got busy. Steve, have we got any ordinance down there you other than the, I know you, we started working on the,
the first thing I'd like to address is the contract with Tate's company, and we were talking about that and went out in the hallway, and I disseminated, I think, to everyone a copy of this. Let me read this, and then and they made some changes to what I sent out before. Did you all get this?
No, you haven't gotten it yet.
Well,
here, I got them. How many you got?
Need one more. Yeah.
What's the Tate company?
Security.
Oh, by the way, you had the date wrong,
Chris.
Yeah.
Steve, you had the date wrong, so I fixed it on mine.
All right. But let me kind of get into this. Last August, Officer Tate made a pitch to the city, and we agreed that he would, in time, replace
Meadowvale.
So that happened. So this contract is going to run from the day it's signed to June 30th of this year. So, with that in mind, this reads, this February whatever agreement is between the Derby City Protection contractor and Jefferson County City, Worthington Hills parties. Whereas the City Commission voted to enter into this agreement during the August 15, 2018 city meeting because of
the 17th. It's changed. It was the 17th.
He has the 17th.
I know. I put the 17th on there because I caught it.
Oh, was it a year ago last August?
Yes. The contract was up last June, so yeah.
Okay, so August 15, 2017. City meeting because of the representations and assurances I took about to take Mason Green meeting to enforce city ordinances, Jefferson County ordinances, and state statutes. It used to be when little cities had their own police forces, they could only, you know, enforce the ordinances of the city, but they broadened that. ought to take and enforce any law within the state of Kentucky. So that's why I said state statutes and Jefferson County ordinances be made abroad. Whereas Officer Mason represented during the August 15th, 2017 city meeting that is contractors managing member is an LLC. So LLC is either managed by the members, or in this instance, it's manager managed because he's the head honcho. All right. So as contractors managing member, he's authorized to enter into this agreement. Whenever you enter into a contract with an Inc. or an LLC, you want to make sure that there are minutes or some representations that they have the authority to do that. All right. So then, he and the contractors, other police officers are authorized by Louisville Metro Government to provide police protection pursuant to this agreement. Also, they are 24-hour cars, so the Metro Government permits them to use their uniforms and their cars. All right. So there's no gray area there. They just come in here and they perform as they would if there was an emergency and they happened to be close by. For example, if it was an accident. So in consideration of covenants and representations, covenants are the parts of the contract that are binding. And I put representations as contained here and above. Typically, the whereases are not part of the contract, but you can incorporate them by reference. It's important because if Officer Tate said that he would wear a monkey suit on the 5th of each month when he came in here, he didn't do that, we could go back and incorporate that in here. We'd have to go back to the tape. I don't think he said that, but that's just an example. All right.
I'm
changing the language here. When performing pursuant to this contract, instead of when within the city, contractors, police officers shall be uniformed, use Metro Government police vehicles to perform their duties consistent with the standards and training of Metro Government. They have this training is kind of uniform, so I'm sure it's consistent with acceptable standards. All right, so Tate Mason, the city, and this is where we change the language. Tate Mason, all right, let's see here. Let's look this. By the 20th of each month, Tate Mason and the Public Safety Commissioner, that would be Dennis, shall determine the monthly, the weekly service, the number of weekly service hours for the next month by the 20th day of the preceding month. So, and he showed me the schedule they're working on now. There was one day where they had someone coming out here and that didn't happen, so they did it later in the month. But initially, I thought that's the objective here. But because they're using other, Tate is using other police officers when they're off duty, they need, and they're arranging their schedules, personal schedules and work schedules of the police officer. So by the 20th each month, Dennis and Tate will have agreed to the number of hours that they will patrol per week for the next month. All right, so that's going to be fixed in stone. And I understand that it's either between 9 and 12 hours. Bob represented to Officer Tate that there might be some reductions when kids are going on spring break or something like that. But once it's fixed by Dennis and Tate on a schedule, those hours are going to be fixed. Dennis can't call up and say, well, we only need you for 5 hours this week instead of 12. That gets back to their ability to, I mean, if it's scheduled, then it's going to have to be that way. All right, then contractors shall by the second Thursday of each month submit for the previous month a written report to the commissioner and invoice to the city treasurer. So that gets into Bob's idea that all invoices have to be approved at a meeting, okay? So does that give us enough time, Bob? Is that consistent with
when the...
As long as we've got the bill before the city meeting, the shortest month we have is when it's on the 15th.
All right.
So if we get the bill by the 10th, just like the auditor brought there tonight,
by the second Thursday, so that would be the
Thursday should be fine.
All right. Barring emergencies, Officer Tate or a designated shall attend city meetings. I don't know. Is that the plan, Bob? Is to have a police presence here at each meeting?
What?
Okay, I have contractor, that's state's company, shall be paid, I'm sorry, barring emergencies, Officer Tate or a designee, which would be one of his contract cops,
sure,
shall attend city meetings.
Sure.
All right, that's good. Contractor shall be paid $37 per hour for services rendered. The contractor term is from the date that we sign this contract to June 30, 2019. Contractor should provide same proof of insurance coverage. She's done that. Now, we did the math outside, and right now the statute is, the statute says that for any line item expense over 20 grand, you have to let it out for bid. Bob tells me that they're thinking about doing that, make it bump to 30. I haven't seen that, but I'll look at it. But I would think, Bob, that given the, if they meet next January, most new staff.
Well, they're doing it this year. This is part of the committees this year.
Oh, you mean that was legislation that was passed in January?
No, it's in committee now.
I thought they were done. They're still in committee. Okay. Well, that would be great if it's effective this
year. Yeah, because I mean, I just got a friggin' thing from JD.
That's great. I didn't know that. Okay,
Send you the bill number.
All right, that's good. Okay. I think the Tate's already given me people insurance, haven't you?
No, we talked about that last year.
Oh, that's right. The reason that has to come out is this, and you will not believe this, and I checked with Frank Radomek, who's one of the county attorney's staff. We played football together at training. We graduated in 1985. Actually, it was 1965. I digress. But Frank's with, so I called Frank, and he does all of the defense of the if you run off the curb in a rose bed or something, whenever the metro government got sued, Frank defended that. So I said, and he told me this, and I said, I was incredulous, this can't be. But if something happened out here, if Tate was drunk and hit the back of me, and the metro government defends that, okay? Metro government insurance pays that. Metro government.
Even though he's doing it.
In this city.
Per his LLC?
Yes.
Okay.
As crazy as that sounds. Why would the taxpayers for Metro, of course, you guys are paying taxes too, but anyway, that's the way it is, and I confirm this with the county attorney, is that he doesn't need insurance because he's insured by Metro government, and they insure themselves up to a certain amount, and then they get insurance, and then those insurance companies dump off part of that insurance so that one insurance company is not going to take a big hit. So that's the deal. I was incredulous that that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. So, again, this contract would be effective if they could sign. I need to clean it up. The mayor signs all contracts. And then, so, Robert, if you want, I can get this cleaned up and I can send it to you. And we're working on a month to month. We've been going on a month to month, and they've been getting paid. So, if we need to pass it for next month, I mean, you're getting paid and you got the schedule. But I mean, that's up to you. And I think that probably is going to have to happen.
Does anybody object to continuing on with this contract with Derby City Protection?
No. I make a motion that we
continue
on.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
As recited by me. Okay, we'll get it changed when we get that done.
All right.
I've got some more here, Robert, if you want me to keep going.
What else you got?
Well, I'll tell you. Robert wanted me to look in, and it was put into the minutes of last week. There's a curfew. Robert wants to, and that, let me tell you this. The city of Metro government has a curfew ordinance. I called up Tate. He disseminated that to me. I sent it to Mayor Stoneham. So the question is, what are the hours? Do you remember?
I do. It's Monday. It's Sunday through Thursday at 11, and Friday and Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Now, the question is, do you want to just have them enforce the Metro curfew ordinance out here?
That was my plan. I don't want to do any more ordinances than, this is my opinion, okay? We have Metro police officers doing the security service, okay? They're very familiar with the Metro ordinances. So why go with the Metro ordinances? Because if we have an ordinance, see, they can write the parking tickets. They've been writing parking tickets on Metro, okay? This way we don't have to plan for anything that we have to plan for. We have to plan for a meeting room, we have to have public hearing, we have to have this, we have to have all that stuff. So by them doing it, the money, you know, the fines and everything goes that town. But to me, I drove around the city, and I cannot believe how much the parking on the street has straightened up. I mean, we still got the parking in the easements a little bit, okay? But the fact that they're aware of the fact that it can't be parking on the streets has made a big difference. And also, they can enforce other ordinances, too. I mean, they Tate's crews, they see a house that in ill repair or need something, they contact code enforcement. They notify code enforcement. Correct, Tate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If we have issues, when we get to the... right now, I don't know where to hit it yet, but there's other issues that we're going to be able to hit with using their code enforcement also. And last week, I had Roger, who lives over... who ran for the city commission a couple of years ago. He called and complained about a person parking in their yard. And I knew it was there. I'd seen it for 2 or 3 weeks. So I told him to call 311. He called 311. They were out there in 2 days. And that car is gone. And also, a bunch of the other... while they were in the neighborhood, they wrote a bunch of other infractions and notified the property owners, and things got straightened up since then. So,
and that didn't cost us anything.
No, we pay. That's the other thing is, our county taxes pays their salaries.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so there's no sense in us duplicating efforts, in my opinion. And
the difference would be where the money goes.
The difference, yeah. But when you look at what we have to deal with,
right,
we got neighbors deciding on other neighbors. And do we really want to put on our own?
No, there's no problem. I'm just asking for that clarification.
And also, I asked Dennis to put some, or to look at some things, and he's got a list of stuff that he's going to hand out. And I want to make sure that everybody sees these, okay? Because Tate and his crew are out here pretty much trying to figure out what we want them to do. So what we have here is a set of directives, okay? And let me tell you what, I'm finding out a whole lot about the legal system in Jefferson County, okay? And I'm not happy with it, all right? Because it seems like there's a lot of people downtown not wanting to do any work to collect their salaries. All right, and what I mean by that is we've had some dubious activities going on in this city. Tate has basically, with the help of a citizen, there was a traffic stop. They found almost a half a pound of pot in this car. So that ain't the half of it. There was a 4-year-old kid in the car with a backpack, and the backpack with drug paraphernalia. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into it, but I'm not happy with what's going on downtown. Okay?
That was a joke.
All right? So, I also know of other things that's going on in this town. We have a problem with juveniles. We have a problem with probation officers not following up on juveniles. We have a lot of problems with the judicial system not doing it. And you guys really need, I wish I could say more at this time, okay? But there's a lot of activities that go, basically are done, gets downtown and gets dismissed. Okay? And it's really disheartening because we're sitting here paying our tax dollars. We're getting our constituents beefing at us because they're wanting to know why their houses are getting broken into. Now the problem, a lot of it is first off, and I'll bring this right up, juveniles look at it as a badge of honor to do all this because they know that their record will be expunged at 18.
Yep.
Okay? And they're defiant. They have no authority. They're not respected to authority. So, again, all we can do is try and put the pressure on them. And I'm putting the pressure on Tate. Dennis is putting the pressure on Tate. Okay.
Can we do anything to the parents? Make them accountable?
Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up was that's why they have a directive on
if they're sitting in school and stuff, then go after
them. Here's one of the things that I have on juveniles. Okay? All right? First off, the drug activity, okay, and minor amount, okay. But here, Jefferson County Metro ordinances, okay. Juveniles effort, walking or in a stop vehicle. In other words, Metro curfew, okay. Juvenile apprehended and searched. Obtain violator's address and phone number from parent or legal guardian's names. First offense, parents or legal guardian called to come pick up the juvenile at the current location. Let me know if you can't do this, okay? Okay. Parent or legal guardian to be advised of curfew ordinance, violation, and consequences. Consequences of future stops, including citing them for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Right? Okay. Second offense, warning citation for both the juvenile and the parents. Third offense, citation for both the juvenile and the parents. So there's a lot more up on top, but this is, if there's anything on this tape that you can't do, you let us know.
Okay.
But I think some of the stuff that I've been talking around and talking with other people is the prosecutors downtown are finding ways to dismiss cases without them even getting court, okay? Whether it's, if it's a drug offense, they're letting these guys become a confidential informant. But let me tell you what, the one that they caught, that they caught, the confidential informants aren't supposed to be out dealing drugs.
Yeah.
Okay? So, this is part of the problem. How is this guy still on the street? I have no idea. Okay? But, you know, Tate did his job. Alright? I can't dismiss him on that. Somebody else intervenes somewhere, higher up, or in the middle, I don't know. Okay? All we can do is provide him with a directive from our side, okay, and have him basically follow through on what we want him to do.
Right. And all we did was outpatient, is that
though? Explain.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I'm understanding the following. It's outpatient. That's what we can do within our city.
We can write Metro government. It's not only Louisville, but it's also county.
Mm-hmm.
All the ordinances that Metro government has are countywide, whether they're in a home rule city or not. They can virtually enforce everything anywhere,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why I think it's just as easy for them, rather than having them worry about any city ordinances on us. Write the county ordinances.
Mm.
Then people, like with us, on our papers, I mean, nobody knew where to do anything. They just ignored them. Now when they get a Metro Louisville citation, oh, they know what they have to do.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there's no second guessing there.
So what you're saying is that we do our part, which is the exact same thing as what Metro Louisville would be doing. And then once it gets past us, they can take it to an attorney, and they can do it, and it might get...
Well, it never even gets us involved.
Okay.
Basically, when he writes a citation, it's on Metro Louisville's ordinance.
I thought you were coming up with a new law for within our city.
No.
But it does send a signal, don't mess around in the city board.
Because we brought in the parents, and I thought that was something that was...
These are actual. There's actual ordinances. You can pull them up on Metro Louisville. If they're not, they have a page where it says most common. Okay, but if you go to the top and it says find the rest of them, you can go in there and find every ordinance that's in Metro Louisville.
It just sounded like you were presenting us with a new thing.
No, this was basically helped Tate company know what their responsibilities are. When they're in the city of work, you know. Right now they drive around and they hope they're doing the right thing. Now they got some directives. Okay?
You're what they do is no different than what they would do if...
Right.
Right.
So they would already know that.
That's right. Not, yeah.
I mean, well, why wouldn't the... I mean, he knows what the ordinances are.
You're right.
So do we have... So the other option would be to say, you don't have to do that in Worthington Hills? Like, why wouldn't it be the same? It just seems like extra.
If I can explain.
Yes, yeah, please.
All right. And I understand Bob's frustration because this one particular case has been really goofy. For example, the issue of criminal summons, but there's no court date. There's never been a... You either issue criminal summonses and arrest warrants emanate from the bench. A judge has to do it. Criminal summons says, okay, Steve screwed up. I don't want him arrested, put in jail. I'm going to tell him when to be in court. This particular instance, it didn't have a date or time. It was signed, though, by a district court judge. If it's an arrest warrant, then anybody that is... can pick up that arrest warrant. If I had an arrest warrant up for me and Officer Tate pulled me over for speeding, they check. And if there are any arrest warrants out, then they lock me up right then, okay? But I was an assistant county attorney. I went to night school and started in 76. So my law clerk, I was one of the original pretrial release officers. And then I went over and saw Bruce Miller. I gave him my crazy heart. I was a law clerk, went to two summers. I graduated 3.5 years and I prosecuted. The beauty back then was is you could have a private practice, you couldn't do criminal law. So I always had a private practice, and I prosecuted, I did it for 21 years. But I will tell you, personal friends of mine are Mike O'Connell and Tommy Wine. They are tough on crime. The only time a case gets dismissed when they can't make the proof. Okay, there are elements, and by the way, all your penal codes are state statutes, all right? The city's going to enact ordinances that have to do with parking and stuff like that, but they can't pass an ordinance about what assault is or what, you know, beating right. someone up is. It's all state statutes, all right? So when someone is charged with a crime, the indictment has to say, or the warrant has to say what you've been charged with, okay? So, and it happens all the time. I tried hundreds of cases, won most of them, because I was a prosecutor listening. When someone came in and empirical proof, you know, someone's charged with beating someone up and they have a picture of them on the beach and they can prove that they were out of state, then I dismiss the case. It's rare that a case gets dismissed. Usually, if there's a beyond a reasonable doubt proof that it didn't happen, and that's the burden of proof in a criminal case, it's the toughest burden. Beyond a reasonable doubt means you have to tip the scale. Clear and convincing is civil. Preponderance is you just tip the scale. So, I mean, Bob knows what he knows, but I will tell you that both Mike and Tommy Wine are tough on crime. So the other way they just get dismissed is that I put on a case. At the end of each case, be it civil or criminal, both sides make a motion for a directed verdict. They look at the judge, either if it's a bench trial or a jury trial, and if I'm the prosecutor and the defense lawyer says, Judge, Steve didn't meet the burden. He didn't meet the burden of proving beyond a reason all those elements. The judge at that time can give them a directed verdict. It gets dismissed. So there's a lot of ways that you get dismissed by trial or whatever. But so what happens a lot of times, and this whole idea of informants, I've always laughed at the idea of informants because you cannot be a reliable informant unless you gave testimony once that was relied upon and resulted in a conviction. Well, how do you get beyond that first step? You know, so, but what happens with these informants, they get chummy with some usually drug cops that have long hair and stuff like that, these detectives and stuff like that, but they get chummy. So sometimes these informants, like this happened here, as Bob alluded to, the guy's got drugs in a car with an infant, and boom, you know, there was a prior case with the same person. Bob came into my office. He's got a rap sheet that you wouldn't believe. The last felony he was charged with was he was arraigned, and within 1 month it was dismissed. All right,
what he's talking about is that address the things that are often dismissed. Is that
why
we're trying to...
No, we're just... I'm going to overload the damn system down there.
Okay.
It's a good system, and it works. That's what my plan is, okay?
I've got two grandsons in the system, and it's not a good system, and it doesn't work.
Are you talking about juveniles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when I was prosecuting, I never prosecuted in juvenile court, but there was a saying back then is that the juveniles get one free murder. It isn't until they murder someone that they can be tried as an adult. So it's not a good system.
Okay.
No. I've never brought it's not for juveniles, and that seems to be the issue.
The idea is we're not going to play games in Worthington Hills. Okay?
And it's like that's already in the law, why isn't it already being done? Why do we need it? It should be done. Like, it's just, it should be there.
It isn't Tate, okay? It isn't Tate. It isn't, there are certain, like in every business, there are those who want to be good, and those just don't really care. Okay.
That's a legal term.
Okay.
All right. Well, right. Now, Bob also wanted to look into abandoned urban property, blighted property. I think the city has also one of those, metro government. So do we want to use those, or do we want to enact our own?
Well, that's what I'm just wanting to have the ability with blighted property, whether it's ours or metro's, to be able to, in next year's tax ordinance, to be able to include that on our tax ordinance, because I was looking at that one, I think it was Pikeville.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
It was a $1.50 per hundred on blighted property. Okay, this is the one thing you can do with blighted property that you can't do with regular property. You can have a substantial difference between the regular properties and the blighted properties, because blighted properties value is decreased. So to make up for that decreased value, there is a max that you can put on. I think it's $1.50 per hundred. Okay. So the idea is if the availability is there, even though we may not have a blighted property currently, okay, but what if, you know, 30 and they had some rules on it, like if it hadn't been occupied for 3 years and there was a bunch of trash around it and the taxes hadn't been paid in so many years, okay, then they could go through the process to having it blighted, and at that point, then they could put the $1.50 tax on the per hundred on that piece of property. And until that property come back up to standards, whoever the property owner was would be responsible at that tax rate amount. And again, there's a process to go through it. And again, I just am looking for a way of incorporating, making an ordinance that incorporates Louisville ordinances as our way of doing business. Does that make sense?
I'll check on that and report next month.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Now, and Bob is also, the city also has a rental ordinance. A couple of years ago, I prepared a rental ordinance, and then and the city had one. But the city has a good rental ordinance, but I found one that is unbelievable. It's out of Covington.
Right.
And it's just unbelievable. I just go through here real quick. We're running out of time. Everything has, every law has to have a definition section. So if you see a word, you know, the terms of art, and you have to go to see what that says. But then it incorporates some building code, the standards of safety, nuisance, occupant, owner, defines all of these things. And then it gets into rental dwelling license. You have to get a license, which we have. You have to submit a permit or apply for a permit. Then it's issued, and it spells out the duration and whether or not it can be renewed. This is state-of-the-art, beautiful stuff. And then it talks about licensing standards and conditions, the right to inspect, all right? And then notice of inspection and consent. If you give them notice, you can't just walk in. You have to give them notice, and they have to cooperate. And then if there are violations, it says what the violations are. You can suspend their ability to rent that property. And then they have to do certain things to be reinstated. And then condemned buildings, they can't do it, can't rent a property if it's condemned. There's an appellate process, which is cool. Always have to have that.
And there's also in that ordinance is occupancy based off a structure type. Okay? And
X number of bedrooms.
There's a set standard on square footage. I haven't been able to find it yet. I've been trying to track it down, but somewhere in Kentucky's regulations, and I think it's in the health department regulations, there's a square footage requirement per person within a bedroom, okay? And it depends on the size of the bedroom, how many people can be in that bedroom, how many people can live in it, how many people can occupy it. We are single family homes, period. Okay? So this is the kind of stuff that we're running into, and you can drive around town, around the city, and just, you can tell who's got multiple. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking one or two adult children. I'm talking multiples in there of at least four or five couples living in one house.
And if you look at your deed of restrictions, to Robert's point, it's single family dwelling. That means, you know, it has changed. When we grew up, usually there was a nuclear family that consisted of parents and some kids. And then with, you know, the aunt and uncle came and visited, that wasn't a violation.
Yeah.
But you have multiple families living in these things. So then, of course, you have the issue of proving that. I mean, you see cars all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that there are people in there. So to Bob's point, I mean, we have to drill down on this. And so what I'll do also is I'll look at the cities, the one I drafted years ago, and then the cities, and then I'll look real hard at Covington's, and I'll have a proposal next time for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think Robert's right on point here on this.
Yeah. The I'm basically not looking to charge them anything to do a registration. We just want to have the registration. So, because when we run into problems, I know houses right now that are, there's one in particular that it's not a problem with family. It's a problem with them just tearing up the property with cars and stuff. I know the one that we had the problem on Rustford, they finally put gravel down. I guess they got tired of getting hassled, you know. But the thing is we can take action by having the problem we have right now is we do not know who to contact or who is renting property, okay? And we don't know how to get a hold of the property owner other than we send out a letter to the address and the renters, they just, you know, it goes out the trash. Whereas if we have the property owner's address and we know that there's a violation there, we can address it with the property owner.
Wouldn't the owner's address be on the taxes?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
That's the problem. Wouldn't the owner's name be on the property taxes?
Well, it would be on the property tax, but they may have the property tax going to the address. We don't know their phone numbers or any of their contact information other than where the taxes.
When you go to D, it has to say where those tax bills go. Typically,
right.
For us, we live there and that's where they go.
Right.
But if it's a rental property and it's conveyed,
right,
then if you don't have where the tax bills go, then they won't record the deed. So what you find out, and by deduction, is you look at the tax rolls, those are going to be, we buy our tax rolls because we can't evaluate property. But when you go through there and you see an address different from the address within the city, you know that that's an absent owner.
But that's all we got is an address. We don't, and a lot of them have corporations or LLCs, or we don't have an identifiable person. Whereas these registration forms that I'm finding out there, even if they say they're a corporation, they identify there has to be a contact person and a phone number and all that. So that's what we're trying to do.
The problem we're running into over in our condominium community now, we are single family condos.
Right.
We have a development company that has bought four of those condominiums.
Right.
And two of them we know he's using as Airbnb.
Oh.
Linda, do you have the deed of restrictions for that?
No, and we're trying to get our master deed.
Well, that would be
amended.
In the master deed.
And that is
just a condominium regime. There's very strict laws about all that. So if you give me a call, we'll try to get the deed of restrictions that may, in fact, prohibit rental properties, and most of them do, because, you know, you don't want Steve Schwartz living in next to you. You don't have a rental.
It's not that, but we have to stay within a certain percentage. Or if someone wants to sell their condo and we are over a certain percentage on rentals, then the person that wants to buy my condo can't get FHA or VA financing.
So there is permission for a certain amount of units to be rented?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Well, call me. We don't want to take up the time.
No, not tonight, but I'm just
but
saying
call me,
it's not,
you know, later in the week.
Right. But
we'll
this, I'm glad to see this, because it's not just the whole thing with single families. It doesn't just mean a house, a standalone house.
No, it's
so
wrong.
Can I kick out my adult sons?
Now, let me get back to something. If you ever want to know the details of everything, so if you ever have a property and we need to notify the owner, let me know what the property is. I've got Jefferson County land records, anybody can, I think, I don't know if anybody can do it, I know I can do it, and a lot of other attorneys do it, but you can pull up the deeds and see where the tax bills are going, and that's who you write the letter to. All right, now, Robert wanted also to consider a requirement that when a property goes into foreclosure that we're notified and get involved in all that. I haven't done that yet.
That's another form that gets posted online on our website.
I'll look into that too. Now, I think, Bob, let me say one other thing. I've had tech guys over the years, and they've always disappointed me. And I've had two that I hired here and paid a lot of money to. I said, I wanted to incorporate all this data from one computer, laptop, into two desktops. And I had two people fail, I mean, miserably over the years. And this was last September when I started this. So I was talking to Robert about this, and he said, you need to call up this Richard guy. And Richard did it. He got the software I needed. In an hour and a half, he integrated these two, all this data. I mean, you wouldn't believe the data that was in this laptop. So now my secretary is using her desktop. I've incorporated into my desktop. I can into it. If I have two secretaries there, she can go in there and sit mine, and we're kicking butt now because of Richard, who he gave it to. So kudos to both of them.
That was the gentleman that we got our laptop from,
He is so unbelievable.
Okay.
All right, so that's all I have.
All right. Well, we're going to move right along. There's one other thing, and we need to be talking about this. Okay, you need to think about this. Dawn and I, is that in your report about the situation with the adverse property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not going to get into it right now, but Dawn's going to bring it up. But we've been hijacked. I'll put it that way. Going on to now, Dawn gets to it in a minute. The budget methods. We have what I did here. It's a 2020 budget. I'm going to give the budget message. The city commission's primary budget objective is to generate enough revenue to pay invoices submitted to the commission as they become due during 2020 fiscal year. There will be no significant changes to the last fiscal year's policy. The most important budget line items are the delinquent city audits and the supplemental security protection, which is our security expense. The purpose of the 2020 budget line item changes, the proposed 2020 budget line item changes are highlighted. Okay. This is the first, I'm presenting this right now because I want to get this on the table. I'm not waiting until April, March, or any other time. Getting this on the table right now. This is not fixed numbers, okay? The fixed number that you have to deal with is that top line up there on current property tax receivables, okay? That is the number we had last year based off of our tax rate, and it's the same number we have this year. But you need to do your homework because you need to look at the delinquent tax, property tax receivables, based from 1 year to the next. This is a homework assignment, okay? Dan gave you the numbers, okay, of where we're at. And we're getting each month where we are, excuse me.
I'm sorry, you wouldn't hear that.
I don't know if it was Deb or Steve. They're over there talking to
me.
Okay, we're in Kentucky, it's at, okay? So where we are right now on delinquent property tax receivables, okay, I moved that down to be more realistic. If anybody was here last year and the year before, you heard the word padded quite often. Bob does not pad anything, okay? Bob is more realistic, and that's exactly where I'm going, or I have gone with this budget, is to be more realistic with what we actually have available to us. You'll notice that the carryover went up. Okay? The reason why it went up is because we had some decreases in the revenues above, and the carryover is the reserves. In other words, money that we've received from the past. My thought process is we know we have 16 audit for 2016. Don't know if it's coming in this year. Hopefully, we'll get it done like we did last year. We can get it done by June, okay, maybe. If not, it falls into next fiscal year, okay? So we had to plan for that. 16, 17 are audits. 18 is a financial statement. Now, I don't know exactly how much gets cost for a financial statement because they changed a lot of stuff on the financial thing. I talked to our CPAs on it, and it's quite intense from what I hear. He said it might as well be an audit. So, but it doesn't require a lot of the stuff the audit does. And then we have 19. I don't know about you all, but my goal is to have 19 done. 19's audit is due to be presented, I believe, by the 1st of February and in Frankfurt by the 1st of March. I think that's the way the new statute is. Okay? So, from the end of June, we got basically about 8 months to get caught up. So, hopefully, with Dan involved now, and us having a more active and more
normal,
more concerned people on the board, okay, we can get this done, okay, and that's one of the reasons why I increased that. We've got a 3-year bond now at $750,000, and like I said earlier, we're probably going to be pushing that to $1 million. I'm also going to look into, there was some good question come up about handling the mail and who should be bonded. So I'm going to check into that to find out exactly if we need to bond everybody so we can all handle the mail. From the time it leaves post office to the time the money deposited.
And the state doesn't have to.
All right. The web page, I increased that amount because right now we're at 540 and some odd change, 550 and some odd change. And like anything else, everything goes up. In 12 months at 500 is $6,000 anyhow. I increased the security allowance up a couple of $1,000s because we're going to be more oversightful on it. No changes in the salary expense. Anything that's got highlighted had some changes. You'll see a lot of them in the operations expense. This was one area that they used for their slush fund. I'm just going to put it that way. Okay? I was on top of it over a year ago. And for the last 2 years, the budget I proposed was the ones that got passed anyhow. So.
Correct.
Those have been here? No. So just work on it. Look at it. If you need historical documentation for past years, I can get that to you. But I'd like to have this done by the April meeting. We can go into to May, but I just want everybody to work and look at this over the next month, and then we can talk about it. We can talk about it in March. Bring up your, send me whatever you got that you want to do. I mean, basically, I'll send you the Excel file that I have for this so that you can go in and work your numbers. You don't have to do anything with the lines. They're already typed in. All you got to do is go and play your numbers. The bottom line here is what you got to remember. The front page is general funds. Everything that's on the front page, the revenues that are on the front page, are the revenues that can be spent on the general funds. On the back page, this is restricted funds. Our restricted funds are separated. Anything that's the road funds can only be spent on road projects or within the guidelines of the road project. They cannot, none of those funds are over here in restricted funds can be applied over here. Okay? So that's why there's two pages to this. That's when they talked about unrestricted and restricted. And this was one of the places where, thank God, they finally got it separated out, because I kept screaming and hollering about it. On the restricted funds, we have some work that needs to be done on Ludenburg. I'm sure Carol's been looking at it recently, because it's becoming very obvious with this cold weather and dampness. You can actually see the alligator there. So I wanted to make sure that we at least tried to budget something to take care of these issues that need to be taken care of. So that's why I did that, Carol.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you some of these contractors' names, and we'll also help you with understanding some of the stuff that can be done. Okay?
I appreciate that. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It does have to be dealt with, and the longer you let it go, the worse it'll get.
So. Again, if you have any, it's a matter of just the top revenues, whatever we have at this bottom number here, can't be more or can't be less than what's down here at the bottom. This has to be a positive number on the very bottom line. Kentucky Constitution requires a balanced budget, which means you cannot have a deficit spending. We are not the federal government.
I have a question.
Okay.
If she wanted to get estimates, are we allowed to just get estimates? I mean, it's not the same as taking a bid, is it?
Well, I don't know if you can get an estimate from a contractor when it's over $20,000, because what they're going to look at, if you're getting estimates from here or there, they may say they'll give you a ballpark, okay? But have to remember, these contractors have to place a bid, okay? And they aren't going to want to tell all their trade secrets.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying, do we have to advertise? Like, I know when we do bids, we have to.
Currently, it's $20,000 and above, okay?
Okay.
And asphalting, unless you're doing just a spot place here and there, you're not getting it for $20,000.
I'm talking about anything that we wanted to do in the city. Like if I wanted to put in a new street light, I mean, obviously LG&E is going to do that, but do I have to get, LG&E might contract it out.
The thing to do, Linda, would be if it's under 20, it's just if you decide to, you want to,
first off, it's got to be approved by the commission.
I understand that.
What you can do is you could just, like you would from remodeling your house, you get a couple of bids there to see which is the best price and check into them, make sure that they're, you know,
right,
in good standing with Secretary of State in that. So, but if you had something that was an emergency, someone, you know, did something and something had to be fixed right away, I think that, you wouldn't need to get bids for that. You just go to a reliable sub. But that runs into a good point. What if happens something that has to be done right away? And you don't have time for the meeting. I mean, that to get approval at the meeting.
You call a special meeting. You call up Mayor Bob, say, I got this emergency, I need a special meeting. Now. I say, well, you can't have it now, but you can have it 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm. We could have a special meeting at Bob's place. And you can
no, we can't. Bob doesn't let nobody in his house. My dogs will tear you apart.
I mean, officers came looking at that. That was one of the addresses that popped up in the radio.
Okay. We got to move along. You looked in the door. Anyhow, all right, what's next? Any other questions? Okay. All right. Old business, meeting locations. We talked about this before. I only have one person so far that even gives us an opportunity, but they don't have Saturday available.
We talked about this when we said that we wanted to make these meetings available to everybody, and we talked about it in our planning session when we got our noggins together. and we were running for these offices, that
I know.
Any month that had a fifth Saturday, we'd have a fifth Saturday meeting.
Okay, I'm just saying. That's why I brought this up, because somebody was probably wondering, when are we going to hear about this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, I have made contact. I contacted Republic Bank, but they wanted $250, which is well over what we're currently spending.
What about Independence Bank? I mean,
Independence Bank is way downtown. No, they closed that site. They closed the one over where we met at.
Yes. Oh, they did? Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
Well, we've been going to the bank.
No. Well, that's why we're getting the equipment. The only one that we'd even consider was the Northeast Christian, and then we have to meet their approval, and they didn't have Saturdays. They quit doing Saturdays because of...
What about Worthington Hills Fire Department?
I've been able to get a hold of that person.
Okay, I'll get
a... No, even in terms of meeting place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and I'll tell you why. When I was here many, many years ago...
No, we're talking about the new one.
The new one over on Bluebell.
Yeah, we're talking about over by Norton Commons.
Yeah, the one over at Norton Commons.
Yeah, we're talking the brand new one. This place is huge.
I called
them
for our publicane. I'll see if I can find those notes.
Yeah.
Because I was able to get a hold of somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what, don't leave it just on Bob. Pick up the phone and make the phone calls. If you guys can come up with something, put it over to me in email, and I will basically put it on, we'll have it on the program. All right.
What's wrong with this place? I'm sorry. Wow.
What?
What's wrong with this place?
For Saturdays, they want...
Why do we have to do Saturdays? I thought we weren't doing Saturday.
No, we're going to do Saturday.
We're only going to do every month with a fifth Saturday, plus the regular meeting during the month.
Well, if people complain they can't make it here at 7 during the week.
Yeah. Well, there are people that work second shift.
Yeah.
There's no way
you're going to
work.
You're not going to
complain that. You're going to set the regular meetings for Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to do...
No, we won't have the regular meeting and a Saturday meeting. We'll have the Saturday meeting in a place.
No, we can't do that. Can't do that. It's got to be every month the same day.
Oh.
Okay, we can add a fifth Saturday.
How about when we have the special meeting at the school?
Right, I've had a phone call in the school and nobody's returning my phone call, so.
Yeah, that's
true. All right, we got to move along. I just wanted to get that on the table by having to sit around and trying to do something, all right? April beautification month, okay. Still looking to do that. I don't know how. Storage unit. Okay, we've got everything moved. Linda, you got some pictures of the old storage unit, right?
Yeah. And we got some pictures. We have anything left.
We got some pictures of the new storage unit, okay. What I want to do is make sure we keep those pictures, because I want to show what it was, where we moved to, and what the end product is. Okay.
You put it on the website?
Yeah, we're going to put it on the website.
Before and after.
Yeah. So we need to start working on the files. So that's one of the projects. We need to get them boxes, get all the files straight and orderly, help everybody. So, again, two-person rule to the storage shed. Nobody goes to the storage shed by themselves.
Well, nobody knows the code to get in or has the key.
I don't know what the code is.
I'm responsible.
I'm not climbing any fences.
Well, let me just tell you, you'll know all that if you got to go over there, okay? All right. The bond insurance was issued effective 2/1. We've got the $750,000 with the Great American. What I need to do is get the approval to start from you all to allow me to work with KLC Insurance Services and see if we can get on their general liability insurance program. Right now we're with
Cincinnati Insurance, and we pay quarterly, and it's like anything else. I mean, I just believe in sticking with the people that helped us. I mean, honestly, we were turned down right at the beginning, and they came through for us. And I would like to see just what they have to offer versus what we have. I don't want to go to Cincinnati Insurance and ask for the information that I need to ask for before I get the wrong approval to move over, you know, to get a quote or get a proposal from Texas City's Insurance Services, because they're going to want to ask for claims, experience, and other stuff. And as soon as I start asking that from the insurance company that we currently have, you know, the red flags start going up.
Right.
Okay? So I need you all to think about that, or we just need to give me the approval tonight to go ahead and find out what we, you know, so I can get started on that process. Is there any thoughts? Is there any objections?
I don't have any. I don't have no objection to your objection. Putting some.
I'm not looking to change without your old approval, okay? But I've got to have your permission, because
we'll start gathering the information.
Okay, all right. So I hear a motion to go ahead and gather the information.
I make a motion that you go ahead and gather the information.
Thank you, Commissioner DeVille. Do I hear a second?
I'll second
it. Carol, Commissioner Campbell, you get the second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous. All right. Next is, all right, new business. We've got the Derby City contract resolved. Got the present. Oh, KLC's done. iContacts. The iContacts is where Glenn had hid all our friggin' email addresses.
God bless you.
Okay, and Sophista City, who we have for our web service, managed to get us to where we can get the information off of iContacts. There's a catch. First off, we got to sign on, and as soon as we sign on, they're going a new credit card. Now, I got Sophista City going back to iContacts stating Glenn died in September, and we need credit for 3 or 4 months. Because we didn't have access to that information at the time, okay? And it took us another month to get this done with them. So my plan is, as soon as we get them contacts off of there, we're canceling the service, okay? Because what the contacts are, they're all the email addresses Glenn had for our newsletters. Rather than being on the city clerk's iMac, they were in iContacts, okay? And this is important that we get them, so we don't go out there, other than the people in this room, okay, know that we don't have their email addresses and have to go back and ask for them again.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned also about the fact that we still have that Wardington Hills page on Facebook. Nobody has his password. Nobody can close that account. Right. Anybody can get on there and post anything they want to.
He probably would have to be approved.
Hmm?
He probably had to mark where he would have to approve that it is able to go on the
page. Yeah, because I used to post things all the time and it would never show up.
All right. I'm working on that too.
Okay.
Sophista City is working on trying to get them, but they're not responding.
Okay.
I mean, I want to talk to them.
The web page.
Huh?
There's a link to the Facebook thing on the web page that you just set up.
Yeah, I know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know it is.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what I need is, again, another thing. I need the permission to basically, if we get this credit, to go ahead and use our debit card on there long enough to where we can get on, get the stuff, get off, and cancel the service. So, does anybody have objection to that? Mm-hmm. All right, your motion. Get the iContacts. All right, thanks. Commissioner Eckenberger. Eckenberger. And do I have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Commissioner DeVille. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, unanimous. All right.
Are we still on new business?
No, yeah, we're on new business, but hang on a second. I got one more thing and then I'll let you in. All right. So this is city bills on the 20th of the month every month. Okay? Well, our city meetings are always more changes than not before the 20th. So as you'll notice, I had that document or that bill on this expense report dated for tomorrow, because their bills are due within 30 days, which in the case if it comes tomorrow, it would fall into it. But if our city meeting was on the 21st, okay, we'd get the bill the day right before the city meeting, but that'd be the only time we'd have that. So I just want the permission to go ahead and add that expense onto each future expense thing prior to getting the bill, because we're going to get the bill, okay? And the bill's going to be consistent, okay? So that's all I'm asking for.
So that means when we get it, they need to pay it from
it'll be pre-approved, because yeah, it'll be dated, like this one was dated 2/20, right. You know, today's only 2/19,
yeah.
Okay? So tomorrow, with us passing it, tomorrow, once I get the bill, I can send it to Dan, and Dan can. Okay. So, do I hear a motion?
I move that you that we pay.
Okay. All right.
We're gonna
pre-approve the payment of this city bill. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, Commissioner Campbell first. Commissioner Bedell second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay, Commissioner Bedell, I know you've got something over there.
You know, I did not realize this. I think I told everybody, but I was shocked. I got a phone call at 10:45 at night, and on my phone it showed up Vanessa. I don't know a Vanessa. So I didn't answer it. And then I realized, I'm a commissioner. I have to answer every phone call. So I called Vanessa back. So calling her from my cell phone. Vanessa now has my phone number.
Did she have it? Oh, she didn't have it to begin with. You had like a line.
And she texts me. She only wants to communicate by text, and I'm okay with communicating by text, and fortunately I have unlimited calling and texting. But how do we handle something like that? I mean, it goes to the switchboard. It comes to, we're going to have to answer every single phone call we get, aren't we?
Yeah.
No, there's got to be a better way.
I can put it in the voicemail, but then you have to go up the voicemail.
No, I don't want to do that. Yeah, but that's your option. I don't.
Or you can. Have you a way to force your calls after a certain hour to go to voicemail?
She's still gonna have to call back.
Is there any way that this could be set up so when someone calls you from the city number, it shows up as the city number and not their personal number?
No.
Okay. Even though I call her back from my phone, so if I call somebody back, it's going to.
Go to Bob's house and call from there.
Go to the dad's house and call from the city.
Hit *67 before you call them, and they'll block it.
Yep.
*67.
*67, and then call them back.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
*67.
Block my number.
Yeah. Thank you. *67. Yeah, I forgot about that. *67. Wait for the dial tone.
*67.
Good. Thank you for saying
that.
I didn't know that either.
I mean, I don't want to miss any calls, but I don't want everybody knowing
right.
My phone number.
*67, and you'll hear a BPP. Then you go BPP for someone down.
Not on cell phones, maybe on home phones.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Star 6-7.
Okay.
And that
all right. Is there any other new business? All right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Oh yes, there is one other thing.
All right.
As you know, we take turns going to get the mail. We are currently driving the round trip, and we go to the post office where we go because it was convenient for the previous clerk and bookkeeper and treasurer. Da, 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 da. We're driving 14 miles round trip when there is a post office in Pee Wee Valley that is 3 miles.
So okay.
Does it make a bit of difference?
The federal post office.
Does it? It's a federal post office, and it makes. No, sense. I have already called, Bob.
Have you already called?
I've already called, and it.
Would
makes
you, all right. Well, let me. Okay, I'm not to argue with you, but you know how much trouble it will be to change that post office box with everybody that we have it with.
No. Well, let's see. I don't know.
How many insurance?
Well, that's the problem.
Checks.
Well, that's true.
It's a Dropbox, isn't it?
No. Our insurance, everything goes to that P.O. box, okay? It's like moving a building when it comes to the city government.
I'm
only bringing
it up because Beverly asked. Bev asked.
No, I know. I understand that. Beverly's fault.
Well, no, I'm just saying she can't.
She's not
allowed to ask.
I think
so,
people move. I think that, and some of
these
people should post office box, and we have to tell people.
That's right. That's going to change the
insurance. Insurance companies, they're going to delay sending the checks.
That's right.
Oh, we didn't get that, and the next thing you know, you're going to be sending a lot. Of, and I don't have a vote, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be.
I'm, I'm.
I think that those problems are minimal, but I mean, especially now.
You have no
that,
idea.
Excuse me,
Katie. All right, you have no idea how many insurance checks we've gotten in the last 60 days. Okay. We're not talking about one or two.
So
we're talking hundreds.
Okay. So if they're late coming in.
No, we're talking about all these people. It's not just that. You have to. You basically, every insurance company is required to send us a check, okay, for their life, health, property, casualty, you know, and some of these insurance companies send 2 and 3 checks based off of what they're sending them for, okay. It's a matter of we have a budget and we don't need our money being lost in the mail somewhere.
Okay, then may I suggest if we're going to keep our post office box where it is now, that we set a time during the day in which we go to the post office.
Okay.
Because this going to the post office at 3:00 in the afternoon on Westport Road is a nightmare.
I don't recommend anybody get on Westport Road at 3:00 in the afternoon. If you are going between, the post office has the mail posted at 9:30.
But it's not working out, Sam. Go whenever you want to.
Did I tell you what time to go?
No, but I'm saying, could we decide on going at a certain time?
You can go any time you want.
Which post office?
I didn't tell you. If you want to go at 10:00, that's the main time.
Landon, off Ormsby Lane.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a matter of you make the decision. If you want to go at 3:00 in the afternoon,
but the way it's set up, we have to wait for a bonded person to go to the post office with us.
I'm available all day.
And then we have to wait to take the mail
when I'm
to the
around.
Clerk.
Huh? Yeah, when I'm available.
When she's available.
Because now there can't be any according to the...
Shh. And I can't be the bank deposit can't be with the machine.
But do you see
I see what you got. I have no problem with having a set time. Okay? And it's a valid question. I'm not gonna disagree with you. Bev has a time when she's got stuff to do. We have a time that we all have stuff to do. Okay, it's a necessary evil. Okay, we could go on Monday and Friday, We could go on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday like we're doing. We can go on Monday and Saturday. We can go any days that you want to set up, okay? The mail still has to be picked up.
Is it legitimate to go twice a week?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing
once a week?
Well, let me put it this way. You go once a week on the months that we have the insurances, okay, which is
the mailbox.
The mailbox. And you end up having to stand in line
to get the mail.
Oh.
There might be some months you say twice a week.
Twice a week.
Okay. Yeah, right now twice a week would work. But come July, when we get to start getting, you know, most of the property taxes are going to the lockbox. Okay.
I'm just saying, since we are not allowed to go without one of you all,
mm-hmm.
and then we still, if I go with Dennis, then I can say, okay, Dennis, you got the mail, buddy. I'm heading off to the Walmart. And Dennis has got to wait for Beverly to show up to give her the mail.
Right. Can't be unsecure.
That's why I think we need to say we're going to do it on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, or Mondays and Fridays at 11.
And they had to put a pretty big mailbox on the garage door.
Do what?
I understand what you're saying, okay? But it still has to have two people through the process till it gets into the bank.
I understand that.
So whatever we need to do to set up the schedule that makes everybody happy, let's just do it.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not arguing. There's mail is mail. We can go at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm ready for it. Okay? If you all want to go at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready for it. Okay? So it doesn't really, you know, this is not one of those things that, to me, we can work this out. Okay, but it has to be worked out. We don't have a choice. We've made a promise to the auditors and to our bonding company. You know, and the last thing I want to do is be violating like all the rest of them.
That's the reason I'm bringing it up. We don't want to violate.
Right.
You know.
So just get me involved. I don't really care. I don't have anything to do all day. You know, I sit at the house and wait for phone calls. You know. So, all right.
I have a question, please.
Okay.
So we talked about we're going to get this electric deposit machine. Well, we're going to have it mine. So two people go get the mail, and they bring it to me, and then do both of them have to sit there? One of them has to sit
only
there?
Only one hand has to sit.
Until I make that deposit.
That's right.
To
ship it mine. That's it.
Because we have to initial the deposit
slip. Right.
Okay.
That's the one thing that it's all checks and balances. Everything is checks and balances all the way through.
That protects everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So, anything else? All right. Commission's reports. We're finally there. Who wants to go first? I have no preference. All right, Road Commissioner. All right.
Okay. This month, as you've noticed, there's been some snow and some ice. So, on January 19th, magic salt was applied to the roadways about 12 midnight. On January 30th, the roadways were plowed between 4:30 and 7:30, and magic salt applied. After plowing, on February 1st, magic salt was applied at approximately 4:30 a.m. And I've also... And we're going to have to deal with this, and I will check. Driving through the city, I've noticed at least two street signs that have deteriorated. Pulaski Court and Rustburg Place. And I will do a thorough, intersection, go down court, every single one of them, cover it before we order. And that way we can order at one time comparable signs that...
Safety Co. will come back next. Let's go around with you.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
I'll get you his number.
Safety
Code. They're right here in town.
Okay. That's Safety Code. All right. Sounds good.
Safety Code. Okay.
Safety Code.
Yeah. All right.
So.
Since we're on that side, Commissioner Reville.
Oh, yes. I contacted LG&E about street lights not working at 4402 Bay Run at the intersection of Pulaski and Ludenburg, and at 4218 Pacelli Place. They came out and repaired those. Did you get me any duct tape? I sent you an email. the way I do it is when I call them in, when I see if one is out, I wrap bright orange duct tape around the pole. Then I call it in and I say, it's the call that, you know, this address has got duct tape around it. They love it. They take it down and I know it's done.
Be careful you do that.
Dennis taught me how to do that.
Yeah, did he tell you about the police officer that got freaked out over it?
No.
Criminal. And mark his house.
Oh, well, you want to tell your officers that there's a little woman
that can duct tape around the
pole. Go ahead.
Deputy Commissioner Metcalf and I met with Jim Pearson from LG&E Outdoor Lighting on February the 4th to discuss installing street lights in the following locations: Queen Anne's Court, Boyditton Court, Luray Court, and Heathsville Court. These courts have a single street light at the entrance off the main drive and nothing else.
Didn't someone want it that way?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It does. That's irrelevant. Sure.
The issue.
They don't get to pick.
I was just going
to Commissioner Metcalf and I are both concerned because I do the street light checks at night. These areas are pitch black.
That's
just a welcoming for somebody to vandalize a yard, a car, a house, whatever. So he's working on a plan, and then I have to do my part. I have to get an okay from the people whose property he's going to come through to put up new additional lanes, but I'm also researching grants to see if we can find a grant that will help defray the cost of doing this project. But I just really, the first time I did a street light check at night, I was like, I don't think I even, well, I went down the street because I thought, surely the light must be out. And I'm like, there is no light, you know. So,
Linda. All right.
And then I contacted the Louisville Water Company three times without success to find out what project they're working on over there on Bay Run, Arwine, and Maxwell. Now, according to the water company, they are not working on anything. So I told them someone has stolen your truck. And they have taken your safety cones. So anyway, I finally called Bud before you did. And Bud was able to tell me, and this is what really gets me, and I'm calling the water company back. Because the initial call to Bud came from the water company on January the 31st, and what they're doing is they are raising the key tubes, they're raising the pipes, is what they're doing. And they're out there at all hours of the night doing it. But anyway, I don't know why they're doing it, but now that I know that they are doing it, I can say to the water company, I know you're doing it. How long is it going to take, and what all does it involve? And then I can report that back to you all next month. So, but
and what's the purpose?
But anyway, that's my report.
Okay, thank you.
If I may, if you call the city clerk in Middletown, they're Grant City. I'm telling you what. So you might call them up. Call
okay.
Work up over there.
Okay, great.
TLC will help you too. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Metcalf, safety.
Grove City on multiple occasions issued one parking permit. Mayor Stoneman and I met with Tate Mason of Derby City Protection. Commissioner Reville and myself met with LGE about adding lights to some of the streets. Checked on Bay Run after receiving a call from Commissioner Reville to see if I could determine which company was using jackhammer around midnight the previous night, which was the water company. WC activity report. Parking citation / warning 10. Theft deterrent 11. Dispatch run 3. Traffic stop 18. Suspicious vehicle 3. Pedestrian stop 3. Safety checks 2. IPL cases open 4. Criminal citation 4.
And IPL is code enforcement, right?
Yes, sir.
IPL is code enforcement. All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Okay, I have one little small thing. Bob and I went over and met with a neighbor over on the new Pulaski Court regarding the property adversement. He wanted to see about purchasing the land. Over the easement. He said he had been maintaining it for approximately 20 years, and he felt that that was, you know, he wanted to purchase it, or he owned it after he had been maintaining it. So Bob and I went over and looked at it, and then we came up with some other issues where there were utilities in the back. And it looks like that, you know, there might be some other neighbors that have fenced in their yards, and they might be in violation. So, I guess Bob is...
Yeah, they've hijacked our land.
Well, here's the deal in Kentucky, and I have to see if it applies to municipalities. If you, and the acronym is OCEAN, Open, Continuous, Exclusive, Adverse, Notorious, I'm missing one. But there's all kind of case law on that, and there's a statute on it. But it typically happens in the country where someone starts encroaching on a neighbor's land. They're growing corn and they keep going. If that goes on, and the owner never comes down there and says, stop it, then that is their land after 15 years. And you can tag, if you have subsequent owners, so you can tag, it's called tagging. You know, you could have four owners over that 15-year period, and it still works. So the question is whether, I think in a lot of these instances, that if it's been going on for more than 15 years, they own that part, they own that land that they maintain.
Well, we can't sell land, city land anyway, can we?
Yeah, we sold some land years ago to the... Actually, no. It's a school board.
They had the school
going to build a school, but they didn't. So we bought that land. But
when then they turned
around.
That's where the
new Pulaski Court
is. But see, the thing is, what they've done, the reason why he's had to maintain it is where the green space comes down, there's supposed to be a walk all the way from the green space all the way down to Lutenberg Court, just past the new house before you get to Lutenberg Court. Okay, it goes behind the Lutenberg Kirk and it goes behind Durnell. Okay, but the neighbors have all fenced it so that our property maintenance people just quit taking care of it. And what happened was he hadn't fenced his, and as such, there's some overgrowth that keeps him or keeps our property maintenance from, you can't drive on the private property. Okay, and so because that overgrowth got grown in there and the property maintenance people couldn't take care of it, he's been taking care of it for all these years. So that's what's promised, and there's other places, there's another place off of Mecklenburg where they just fenced across the yard.
Mm-hmm. Robert, is it a walking easement?
Yes.
They can't do that. They can't adversely possess that.
Yes. That was the line that I drew on that map. If you look at it, you can see it.
Because that's a record where that's an easement.
You can't
touch that. They have to get off.
Well, we'll be down to your office and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Right. If I just start using land behind my house, it's not over an easement, and I do that for 15 years, it's my land.
Well,
but it's not an easement.
can't do that.
Can't
that's
do
a
it.
Dedicated easement that you can't
what you got.
Okay, what I wanted to say about the easement, when my daughter bought the house where she is now, we had it surveyed. And the people next door to us had a fence up.
Right.
And that fence is in 5 feet of our property.
Inside?
Yeah, inside. Yeah. Up there.
Have you ever told them to move it? Get rid of it?
Would you let me finish?
I'm sorry. Shut up.
Where's Deborah?
Just like a man.
Just stay on topic.
So anyway, we needed, because we want to eventually put a garage there. So it came to a pie shape. So we said to them, we suggested to them, we would give them the 5 feet up by the fence if they would give us the front so that we will be allowed to put up a garage. So we have an easement in that respect.
So you worked it out?
Yeah.
And you had a new survey done?
All right. We had it surveyed and everything.
Okay. Is there any other thing from the commission?
No.
Is there anything from the public?
I got a couple. So are we going to have to pursue legal action with this homeowner?
I'm going to talk with this with Steve.
Got it.
All right.
No letter files.
What? Mm. Let me hit Ed first. Which got Ed?
At the end of Chesterfield, the wood fence is down through there.
Right.
You notice it's leaning against the houses behind there?
And
the houses are holding the fence.
It isn't our fence.
It looks pretty crappy.
It isn't our fence. It's their fence. Code of 311.
But that's a nuisance.
Yeah, that's a nuisance. 311.
You call people who live there don't care if it's
leaning. Yeah, well, it's their fence.
311 and they'll come out and they'll make it.
Right, right. It's, right. Okay.
So there was a couple things. Dennis's report mentioned that there was some calls for suspicious activity and parking violations. Is that something that we would call Dennis for, or would we call Tate something if we see stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Dennis? Oh, Tate, you wouldn't call me. If I see something, or you could, if you see something, you can call me and I'll relay it to him so he'll know what
to do. I think it has to go to the commissioner also. Take it when you see
it. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, but I can't imagine it calling
yeah,
the commissioner
to call
at 10 p.m.
when
you see somebody parked. Like, or
I didn't mean to call him directly.
I'm just focused.
Yeah,
911, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, like, where that line is.
There is a
non-emergent
activity, like,
where the line
is
between his job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you know, so network, a lot of times we'll see streams of comments. Well, I just saw blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
I saw, and then people start chiming in. And then, you know, two or three hours later, you'll see somebody say, well, I called the police on it. Well, what the fuck away did you call and start with?
Yeah.
You don't start
all right.
With all the
police. There is a 911.
Okay.
That's
fine.
No, there's another thing. The other thing that I wanted to bring up that I just think is a little unclear is some of the things that these guys are voting on, they're kind of built in together and they should be separated. So, for example, and I don't care which way you vote on it or whatever, it's not like I have an issue with the votes, but for example, the computer system, which is already voted on, so it's no big deal, just an example, the vote was, do we need these computer systems? And then if so, we're going to go with this guy. And I feel like if that is not mutually, those two things are mutually exclusive. You vote on, do you need the computer systems, Warren? And then you vote on which, like, why, or do you keep the iPads and the, not iPads, the Apple that you have, or do you switch to Windows? And if you do, then you bid on which computer guy, which evidently has turned out beautifully for everybody. Everybody likes it.
We don't have to bid on this. We don't have to bid on that size.
So regardless of bidding, I think that some of the things that I'm seeing appear to be kind of grouped in together and they're not being separated. And I feel like nobody's going to disagree that there needs to be new systems if you don't have enough, or like everybody wants them to have what she needs. But it was just assumed that she was going to use a Windows operating system. What if we already had? Where's the stuff that the thieves were using? Where is that equipment?
They're still on the shelf, and we can't use them.
That's fine. It's not a question you have to answer. I'm just saying that these two things appear to be different in my eye.
I'm just going to give you the answer. Number one is, I'm actually not designed for administrative business or designed for graphics. And 99% of the government agencies use window operation systems. So it doesn't need to be discussed about which system we go with or what we keep. It was a matter of we needed to have a new system because the iMacs take up a whole desk space.
Okay, so then in that case, perhaps it should have been, do we all agree that we want to switch to this system? Because this is what we have in practice right now. So do we all agree that we need to switch to the system? Everybody would probably say yes. And then the second one is, okay, so how many do we need? Like, I just feel like it's all being grouped in together. And that kind of was the same thing with one of his first readings, and I can't remember exactly what it was. And I was going to just not even bring it up, but then I saw it again with his, maybe it was about the liens at first, the first reading that it was.
His salary.
And his salary was grouped into it. And it's like, wait a second, what are we talking about now? I thought we were talking about liens on houses, and it led into how much extra work he does. And that's fine if he needs more pay for that. But that, it was just kind of grouped in there. And I think that that's mutually exclusive. That's just all of that. I'm noticing a pattern with it, and I think that it should be kind of broken down a little bit at times.
All right.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Anyhow, do I hear a motion? Is there anything else? Or okay, wait a minute.
The holiday decorating contest, has the winners been paid yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
Donnie, everybody.
All right.
Look out for him. He personally drove to my house and gave me my check.
All right.
I delivered the other two checks. And
yes.
People were like, what?
Oh, no. Okay.
They were second place. They said, who was first place? We're going to beat them next year.
No.
They were excited. They didn't
know we're one. Next year to be much better because we've got the website to really boost it.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Nice
and oh, and that was one other thing is, and I forgot to bring it up. You all want to get a sign?
What?
All I want to know is, do you want me to go sign the RAMA and get our website put on a sign so we can put it out front?
Would you love that?
Good idea.
Because we can put it out front or. You could even get two and have one down at the circle where the big flagpole is.
Yeah.
Put one down
there. Well, I'll tell you what, we still don't have it. We have a website, but it's not something that I'm really
proud of.
No, I'm proud of it, okay? There just needs to be more to it. And what I need you all to do is get on there and get your stuff on there. I need stuff for the safety, need stuff for the property maintenance, stuff for the.
I got my stuff on there.
I know you got some, yeah. So get in there and just there's nothing stopping me from sending something to Victoria. Just send it through us so that we know what's before it goes on there. So if there's anything, especially go to Beth. Beth's the best in the world at proofreading. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I see the mistake in the CPA's report.
Yeah.
I saw a mistake in your.
All right. All right. All right. Do I hear a motion to end the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. Motion.